welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on cagematch.net. I'm your host, Strigger, and the last time I said these words was almost 4 weeks ago, the last show we did. It was a different scene 4 weeks ago. Wrestling changes so fast, and you have to keep up all the time, and I tried my best in the last couple of weeks, but I wasn't able to do a show. I had to do a lot of work in the last 4 weeks, and it happened to be that I didn't really have time to work on the weekends. So I usually take Saturday mornings to correct some tests and stuff like that, but I didn't because I actually had social gatherings on the weekends, if you believe it or not. I was at 16 Karat Gold, for example, a couple of weeks ago. So I had to do all the work, like after school, on the afternoons, in the late afternoon hours. And so wrestling dropped off for a while for me. And I'm glad that I'm back now with you to talk about the perfectly normal world of professional wrestling, like we figured out on our talk before the show. Dylan, we're back here. We're talking about three topics today. We're talking about Stardom, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and All Japan Pro Wrestling. I am excited for this show. I gotta admit, every time before we do a show, I feel some anxiety before these shows. I've said that before too, but I always turn that around into a positive anxiety because I'm always excited as well when we get into the topics that we have for these shows.
I missed you, man.
I've missed you too.
We all missed you for sure. You know, first of all, I hope you had fun at WXW 16 Karat. Ambition. Oh, yeah. I got to see some of the Japanese wrestlers we've talked about on there. WXW has always been one of the forerunners in terms of bringing in Japanese talent, you know, dating way back, pretty much. And I'm glad that you had such a great time there, did some cool stuff, and obviously a lot of your social gatherings that you've had. Having fun, having friends must be nice. I don't know what that's like, unfortunately.
Oh. But I'm your friend. We this is kind of a social gathering as well.
Yeah.
Doing a podcast.
Absolutely. Listen,
people do nowadays.
That's a good point as well. But the Eastern Lariat family are all of my friends right now, and I'm so happy to be back with you talking about wrestling. I was so excited to talk about this show. I never feel anxious coming out to the show, to be honest with you. This is always the one that I feel like, I mean, we've obviously done it the longest. The excitement around it, you know, I go back to the awards at the start of the year, still award nominated. They will never take that away from us on the show.
I was going to ask, has anything happened now? Because I never saw anything that came.
We won.
Okay, we won.
No, I don't think we did. But okay. if in our minds we won. If there's no winner, we could declare it for ourselves, right?
Sure.
Listen, this is the style of this show. This is my style. This is Kaioken times 10. Masenko Master. It's a disaster. Call me the Kid Key Blaster. Rest in peace, Toriyama.
Holy shit. Holy
who
shit.
Who came in. Hey, listen, Son Gohan meant so much to me as a child. I've got so many memories of Dragon Ball in my life. So seeing Akira Toriyama pass away and all of the, like, you know, you've got whole countries giving statements, China and Mexico and all of Latin America, Dragon Ball is so popular with, and me as a child. So when that happened, that's something that happened while we were recording and everything. I was just thinking so many memories. Like, you know, if we were to do a show or just to sit together and talk, I could literally go over every saga of Dragon Ball in like perfect memory. Like that's how important that show was. I remember last year they came out with the movie Superhero because
I'll have to watch that eventually. Yes.
Oh, and for me it was so special because it was all about Gohan, and I don't know if you ever watched like Super or anything like that.
No, I only watched Z, but I found a website where I could actually catch up on what's the show after Z? Was it
GT?
GT, yeah.
See, that thing about GT is very funny. So Z happened, and everyone loves that. And they had the original Dragon Ball even before that.
Yeah.
But Z was the one that was really the most popular. Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree with that. All over the world. You're in Germany watching it. I'm in America. All my friends have heard of this, you know, even if you're not a fan of anything, pretty much. GT Toriyama, I don't think, was involved with, or he didn't write, or something happened. And a lot of people didn't like GT.
I see. Okay.
And then they did the live action Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Evolution, which was so bad. Toriyama said, all right, I can't leave it like this. I have to bounce back. I can't let Dragon Ball go out like this. So he came back with Super, which is a whole other show, which was not as good as Z either, to be honest with you, in my personal opinion. And particularly for Gohan, my favorite character of Z, they basically made him a nerd. Like, it's Super. Like, you know, he's like, I don't want to fight and all this. So then they came out with Super Hero last year, and they, like, beefed him up again. It was like a guy who, like, a guy we loved so much in the past. Then he got de-pushed for a while. Like, you know, for a few years, he hasn't been doing anything. And then he rises up again. They gave Gohan his special beast mode transformation into Super Saiyan. It was freaking awesome. And I was in the theater watching that. I was, like, shaking. Like a little kid. I was like, yes! Like Gohan is back! This is my jam! Gohan and Cell, one of the most amazing moments in all of TV, not just Dragon Ball or anime. Like, one of the most amazing moments ever when Gohan beats Cell. I still feel that way. I actually got the a game they had. They made it on, if any of you PlayStation fans out there, if you got PlayStation Plus, the higher level or whatever, where you get the catalog, they have Kakarot on there for free, if you've already got Plus. And I downloaded that, and I've started to play the whole story again of Dragon Ball Z on the game. And I remember everything. Like, I remember what happened. I remember what's happening next. I remember when Cell showed up, and it was like...
Oh, yeah, that was a big changing moment of the show.
Yeah, and the writing was so brilliant, because leading up to that, they built this whole deal on the Frieza saga, where it was the most epic thing ever. Goku had to blow up an entire planet and escape to do it. And the first thing we see coming back is that 3 months later, everyone's on Earth, the gang is back, they wish them with the Dragon Balls, all the Namekians, and... Then they realize that Frieza's come to Earth. Like, he survived everything. And they show Frieza, he's like half cyborg. His dad, King Cold, is there. Everybody thinks, but even there's a part where Vegeta's like, I just want to be clear to everyone, Earth is toast. and like, they're basically like, we're all dead. Frieza's here. It's crazy. Then what do we see? A new character who we've never even seen before shows up here. And they talk about him, and they're like, his power level is only 5. He's a loser. And then he goes Super Saiyan, which they built up like through an entire year of the show of Goku going Super Saiyan. Then this new guy goes Super Saiyan 5 seconds into his appearance, kills Frieza, cuts his ass in half, and his dad, and blows up his ship. And we were like, who is this man? He talks about androids are coming in. They're the most dangerous thing. He came from the future. They ruined everything. And that whole deal with the androids, they took 3 years of them training. Goku had to overcome his heart virus to get there. They built this whole thing with the androids, only to suddenly switch to Cell, an even bigger, like, the real villain that was hidden this whole time came in. Ah, Dragon Ball, man. I have so many memories. Like I said, I could talk about
villain,
this for 5 hours.
Such superb storytelling. I wish Akira Toriyama had been a pro wrestling writer.
God, can you imagine if he was... I mean, I don't know. I'll say this. There were a lot of wrestling references in Dragon Ball in his writing. To be honest, and a lot of a lot of Dragon Ball references in wrestling as well. I think the most prominent was
it has to be the most important manga in Japanese pro wrestling. At least there are so many references in Japanese wrestling, like 01 with the Dragon Balls, Isami Kodaka. The entire universe of Basara is based on Street Fighter and Dragon Ball.
That's a great point.
Tekken and Dragon Ball. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, Tekken. The far superior fighting game Street Fighter, in my opinion. But, yeah, the 01, the Dragon Balls. When I first started watching Japanese wrestling, I thought that's what made me want to go to there. Like, and I thought they were the number one company because, like, we have a tournament based around Dragon Balls. And they have the dragon, like, that, you know, when they made the wishes and everything after you win the tournament. I always wanted that. That was, like, one of my biggest dreams in wrestling. I wanted to be in that tournament to get that, like, just to give me the
get
ball, man.
Ball. Yeah.
I don't even have to win. I just want to be involved because it was so cool. You got the dragon. You know... It was so influential to wrestling, and so, you know, and Dragon Ball itself, if you really look at it, Dragon Ball Z and Super and even the original is really similar to wrestling in a lot of ways. because if you look at the original Dragon Ball, it was very, like, down-to-earth martial arts-based.
Mm-hmm.
In Z, everyone got superpowers and, like, yes, went so over the top where you're blowing up planets, people are turning into giant apes, it's crazy as hell, but everybody had their, like, for Goku, everybody knows the Kamehameha wave. You know, Krillin, you had the Destructo Disc. Piccolo, you had the Special Beam Cannon. Everyone had their signature moves. Nice. Everyone had kind of their gimmick, their own unique look. Like, when Gohan showed up with Piccolo's gear on, that was a huge deal. Like, for me as a kid, it's like, okay, he doesn't have the Saiyan gear. He has Piccolo's stuff. And it was like everybody had their own moves. It was really a lot like wrestling when you think about it. If you like how they work the characters, and the fight scenes were obviously like so explosive and crazy as time went along. But everyone had their own moves. You could pick your favorite character out and root for them. You didn't have to, you know, you didn't have to just root for Goku. There were so many guys. And one of the great lessons I've always took this, in all honesty, this meant so much to me. I had a thing on the Patreon where the day after that happened, I did some show. I think it was about Stardom, the Cinderella tournament, then the first round. But I got really emotional at the end because there's so many great life lessons in the show. And one thing I always say, if you look at Goku and Dragon Ball Z, every member of the Z Fighters, which was their faction, like in Dragon Ball Z, where you had all the guys, if you look right down the line, everyone brings up Vegeta, obviously, who's like the main mm-hmm. rival. Yep. But if you look at that whole crew, every one of them, outside of Krillin and Gohan, obviously a son, every one of them started out as a villain and hated Goku at first.
Yep.
And then he became their friend afterwards. And I carry that with me in my life. You know, I always thought about that. Like, you know, even on Twitter, there's been people who've done crazy things, but I've never blocked anybody. I always want to believe, like, just like Goku, and I'm not saying I'm obviously as good as him, but I always want to believe, even if people are your enemies, they can actually become your friends at some point, just like Goku in Dragon Ball Z. And it's something I've carried in my life, in my real life, on the show and everything. And they taught you so much. And Goku always wanted you to try your best at everything. I felt that myself. You know, even when Goku, the part that everybody always criticizes him for as a father, when he gave Cell the Senzu Bean against Gohan, that was as a result of him believing in Gohan so much. You know, there's a part where Gohan's down on himself and he's like, I can't do it. And Goku, who had already died at this point, he's talking to him from King Kai in heaven. And he's like, I don't know who told you there's something wrong with you, but there's not. Like, you can do this shit, man. And Goku, like, totally brought him in. And I was like, oh, like, I wish you were my dad, Goku. Like, I was really resonated with Gohan because of that moment and that scene. So when that happened, that meant so much to me. And it's a shame that Toriyama died. It felt like, you know, I lost a part of myself, like, when that happened. But I know that the thing is, they are going to continue Super. So you should watch the movie, though, Superhero they had. That was a really cool movie. The show itself, it's up and down. There's some stuff I don't like about the writing. I'm obviously watching this as an adult now. When I watched Dragon Ball Z originally, I was a small child at this point. So that probably, I'm more jaded. But the movie was great. I think you'll love it. Everybody check out Superhero. Check out Gohan. He's back. He's bouncing back. He pulled a Goto on us.
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yes.
Goto. Yes. the third member of the family.
The GTR. Right now. Huh?
The GTR, just like GT, even though we try to pretend that doesn't exist sometimes. But no, definitely Dragon Ball references all throughout wrestling, and hopefully everybody out there knows what the hell I'm talking about, because if you never saw Dragon Ball,
I assume that most of the people that listen to this podcast have watched Dragon Ball.
I think there's definitely a big crossover.
There has to be. But if only wrestling was so creative, Dylan, these days, we would have much more to talk about here and much more cheerful stuff to talk about, actually. But we are in a period of Japanese wrestling where it's an okay period. I mean, we off air, we discussed the tag tournaments in Noah and Dragon Gate that are going on right now. And the Noah one has finished. Dragon Gate is still going on. And the Dragon Gate one is okay, I would say. I would say the show on the 18th that they put up on YouTube was the best so far. I haven't checked out the Noah one. You did, and yeah, apparently it was very okay too.
It was remarkably okay. That was how I would describe the Victory Challenge Tag League. And the thing is, they had a great lineup when you look at the names.
Yeah,
and you could argue.
Yeah, we talked about that. The lineup was good.
And even the Dragon Gate, like Rey de Piraeus, is a good lineup of names. It's just a lot of these shows are smaller, and I don't think they're even trying to, like...
That's the thing about these Dragon Gate shows. I mean, I saw it when I was watching some of the Susumu and Yamato matches. They were considerably slower than they are when they are in a venue like Kyoto KBS Hall or Korakuen Hall. They just moved very much at a moderate pace, and it was all worked towards this live crowd, of course, but it's not the usual high-speed Dragon Gate pacing that you're used to when you're watching only Korakuen Hall shows.
They're workers. They know the tricks of the trade. They're not going to give you Korakuen effort at some of these smaller buildings now.
Of course not.
But it's a shame. You know, I was thinking about this. There's been a lot of times recently where, even like for Noah and All Japan, there are times where you'll have world title matches in Korakuen, like not even in bigger venues and stuff like that. And it's crazy how, like, that's something that probably wouldn't have happened a lot in years past, but because of the way things are now, it's kind of by necessity. You're in that situation. It's been that way for All Japan for a while, but I kind of reminisced on that, like, wow. Like, these guys are running their, like, to some of these promotions, Korakuen, that's the big show.
That's the big venue now,
When you,
for example, look at the, we went over this 0-1, real 0-1 Tochigi Pro stuff. They are apparently split companies, but some of the workers still work for both. Who knows what's going on there?
Yes, who knows?
The 0-1 company that's now basically Tochigi Pro Wrestling, they celebrated the 23rd anniversary of 0-1 in Korakuen, and the building was so empty. It was such a hard watch. Or even other companies right now, Big Japan, Freedoms, they can be happy when they draw around 500, 600 people to Korakuen Hall for their usual shows. Ice Ribbon did a show this weekend drawing 550 people. And it's right around that what some companies get in this venue. Of course, All Japan, Noah, they do better usually, Dragon Gate as well. But much like you said, it's usually the big venue for most of the shows. Some of the companies go to Ota Ward, and Dylan, that's some of the news bits, or one of the few news bits that I have here on this show, is that Ota Ward is closing down until the end of the year. All facilities of Ota Ward General Gymnasium will be suspended from April 1st to December 27 due to reconstructive measures around the building. And that hurts a lot of companies because Ota Ward is the next big building after Korakuen Hall. And then they're basically, for most companies, of course they can go to Tokyo Dome City Hall, but I guess that's not that cheap to rent. And then that would be Sumo Hall, and most companies, if they run Sumo Hall, it's a empty building.
Yeah, that's not an option for a lot of these other companies to go to Sumo Hall at this point in time. You know, I just think about it. You were talking about the Korakuen numbers. You know, even on the lifespan of this show, you know, there was times, like, you know, the first few years of the show, really, where someone like an Ice Ribbon, that would be considered a very low number at Korakuen, like a 550. But now it's actually a really positive number compared to what they were doing before, where it was like a pretty significantly lower, even a couple hundred lower. So for them, that was actually a good number now. And hopefully, and I root for them, obviously, to get back, and other companies as well. I would love if everyone's successful. But we are in this kind of weird period for the grand scheme of you know, like the world of Japanese wrestling, I think.
Yeah.
Like, a success now needs to be adjusted from where it was back then, like even 5 years ago or whatever. You know, like the way things are. And hopefully they are making moves. I mean, we're going to talk about it with New Japan and stuff. You know, you have to hope that a lot of these companies do make some moves to move forward and build a new era that could be successful. Because I think right now, the last few years, obviously the pandemic definitely played a role in that.
Sure.
But that's always
an easy excuse. We always said it. It's an easy excuse to just blame the pandemic on all of that, because other forms of entertainment haven't suffered as much as wrestling have.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of it is, like, they're really shot themselves in the foot a lot of times. And obviously, New Japan is the company leader, or the country leader in terms of wrestling, is a big part of that. But, I mean, we saw it. And even during the pandemic, when Stardom was at their hottest, they improved from where they were before the pandemic.
Right.
And then last year, there was all this turmoil and struggles, and we're going to talk about it a little bit. And things went down again, you know, so you can't just say, oh, the pandemic. A lot of it is the result of some underwhelming stuff, like booking the product itself. And we're going to talk about New Japan. I've got some takes on this whole company coming up.
Because
I watched this whole tournament, people. It's documented. I did it on the Patreon. I watched every match, and I proved it. And why did I do that?
I don't know.
I did it for the people.
For the people.
Because... listen, if I do it, the Eastern Lariat family, you get the blessing of not having to do it. You know everything going on.
I hope nobody did.
I hope they listen to my show, but not watch.
Yes.
I want them to listen. I just don't want them to watch the show. That should have been what it was. I should have posted like a 2-minute clip of just a warning. Like, do not watch this. on it. But that thing is, though, like I said, there's a lot of companies right now where things got really bad and really messy, and then there were some that, you know, were in kind of this weird purgatory almost, where it's not like it's terrible, but it's not special either. It's not touching your heart, and hopefully we can get into that.
That's very accurate.
And I think there are some moves that were made that are an attempt to do that. If we go through this show, the stuff we're going to talk about, I think these companies are attempting to make something like that. That will be a point that can grab you as a fan.
Yeah. Let's get into these topics then.
Yeah.
Stardom, first one. Yeah, the big talking point of Stardom, we'll get to the Cinderella tournament in a bit, here is, of course, that in addition to Julia, she was the first one to say that she's leaving Stardom, we have Utami Hayashita, Mirai, Mai Sakurai, and Yuzuki, Rookie, are leaving the company at the end of March, and they will most likely, of course, move on to Rossi Ogawa's new promotion. That's a whole different topic. Tokyo Sports asked Rossi Ogawa directly if they will join Stardom, and of course, because of all these poaching allegations, he just said, "You decide who to believe," and that is it for him. That's what he said about that.
I will decide. Right to you.
Yes. So they are leaving to form this new promotion. A very key guy backstage for Rossi Ogawa for a long time. Sonny Gutierrez, he's leaving as well at the end of March. So they are moving on to this new project. Dylan, we discussed this briefly off the air. These are 5 wrestlers now that are leaving. That's, of course, not going to make up a new competitor for Stardom. But it's Julia and it's Utami. Mirai was a key player in the last 2 years as well for Stardom. I'm guessing there could be others leaving. Maybe some contracts are not running out at the end of March. Some contracts may be running out later in the year or next year even. Depends on who else is moving and how many other people are moving to this new company. What was your first take, or what is your take right now on these names that are leaving Stardom at the end of the month?
We had known that Julia was going to go. That was pretty obvious. It had been talked about for a few months now. Utami's interesting because she stated that she told them in December that she was leaving. Which is months before Rossi was relieved of his stuff.
That
in February.
It completely matches the timeline of Stardom officials finding out that Rossi is planning something. That's what they said when they fired him, that they found out in December that he's trying to set up something new. And that would completely fit the timeline with Utami then giving her notice.
Well, look, I mean, just logically, these people didn't just all come together by accident.
No.
to come to the, you know, Like, I mean, that was like, that's obvious that this was in plan. And they had the thing in November where they fired the old president, Harada.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, last year was a year of turmoil for the whole company. Like, behind the scenes, on the screen, injuries. It was a really bad year. And it's such a shame because the years prior, as I said, they were, to me, head and shoulders the best company in the whole country. They had great wrestling. Their storylines were logical. You had great title reigns, amazing moments, blah, 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 and great successes. But for some reason, Bushiroad decided that they needed to be more involved with things, and their ideas weren't always positive with a lot of people. And it definitely wasn't positive for the company overall, if you look at how things went. But they fired the president. Then December comes. Rossi, at that point, you could easily see him, you know, trying to come up with something that he's planning. Julia, obviously, is a great star. And it's tough because I love her as a wrestler. And Utami is another one. Like, great wrestler. Mirai, love her. Like, these are excellent workers in the ring. Mm-hmm. But because of how things worked, and we talked about this on the award show we did, this was like the worst year to me in terms of Joshi nominees. Like, nobody was actually a difference maker, in my opinion, like in Joshi Pro Wrestling last year. Even these great stars, if you look at their years, Utami, they got the cage match thing out of her. But outside of that, it's not like she's had this prolific run the last 2 years, really. You know, she had her great title reign, amazing matches with Shuri, and some good stuff with the tag scene with Aphrodite. But it's not like she was a top player like for the last years of stardom or anything like that. Mirai, in 2022, she had an amazing run. Like, great matches, the fans were going crazy, like the clap thing, everybody was super over. She looked like one of the best. 2023 came. She started off great. I loved her match with Hashimoto that they had. But they put her in the tag team with Ami Sarai, and the chemistry just wasn't there. It wasn't a good team. They really stalled her. They gave her the white belt, but they actually didn't put, like, her character was so uninteresting as champion. They didn't really put effort into her. And it makes sense that she would want to make a change now. You could see that she didn't have a lot going on forward. So for the company stardom, I don't think it's like this. I think, honestly, the most surprising person was Yuzuki.
Yes.
Because she's a rookie player. You would think that that's not somebody you would think would jump over. But I think it's a great idea.
In a way, it's the most surprising name. And in another way, it is not. Because when you have these kind of walkouts in Japanese wrestling, there usually is a rookie that is in some ways attached to some of the wrestlers that are leaving the company. That happens frequently in different eras of wrestling. That has happened frequently in different eras of wrestling where a rookie walks out. For example, like when Manabu Soya came to All Japan Pro Wrestling for the first time, he came there because Osamu Nishimura, his teacher, was leaving Tradition at the point, or Muga World Pro Wrestling it was at the point. And Soya was a name that had just debuted for Muga and went on to All Japan Pro Wrestling. And of course, now he's in Noah. And with Yuzuki, she has probably ties with some of the people that are leaving the company. And so she figured, this isn't the environment that I want to be in, and I'm trying this new thing.
Well, she's most closely allied with Mayu Iwatani. You know. And the thing with Iwatani, the movie is really what's stopping all of that.
Yeah.
And I think, as I understand it, a similar thing is true with Shuri, who appears in the movie as well. She plays Kagetsu, actually, in the movie. As I understand it, that's something that's in the way. And who knows? I had heard that, you know, I knew Mirai was on the way out. You know, I'd already heard that myself, actually. And she obviously was. She said it publicly. And it came out that she is. As I understand it, there would have been more. But actually, Bushiroad gave some people some raises in their contracts.
I see.
When that's the problem with this, like with Rossi's outfit. Bushiroad has money. And so if somebody wants to jump, they can make things happen. And you know, you see the tournament booking of Cinderella tournament was so interesting when you look at it. Because there were some people that went out very early, and they pulled some upsets. And obviously, Hanan, we'll get to that. That was its own thing. Some other people, you would think, huh, you know, like this was very weird. They would have them go out this way. But the company itself is actually kind of interesting when you look at it, because you can analyze the company based on the on-screen product. But also, you have it in your mind to think about, like, who's going to leave, who's going to go to Rossi's deal. The five that they got, as I said, Julia, Utami, Mirai, that is a great three musketeers, so to speak, to start your company around. Like, all three of them have great things. I don't think they've been used to their best of their abilities. Really none of them, I would say, in the last year. And Utami for a while now. But in the ring, they're great. Julia, like, she has everything you want to be the company leader to start off. Sakurai is not a great worker, but is a good character worker that she was able to get over in her gimmick as her, you know, her highness. And Yuzuki, great working. She was probably the best, and Stardom has a great rookie crop, actually. They have a lot of great young people. That's something they really have improved on the last few months.
Yeah, I watched the match that she had with Mayu Iwatani on this final tournament day, and I was really impressed with what she got to do inside the ring, especially when you compare it to rookies that New Japan Pro Wrestling train. They get to do so much less stuff inside the ring, and she was very impressive here.
That was a big thing when they were talking about the Young Lion outfit in New Japan, how they wanted them to be more like Stardom.
Right.
You know, you can make stars a lot faster there, and why aren't we doing it here? A very logical thing, to be honest with you. But yeah, Yuzuki's great for a young wrestler. I like a lot of their rookies. Like I said, I think they have a bright future with people like Yagami. I think has such a unique style. You know, they've got a lot of great people, but only five people. It was a little low, but I do think there will be people later, you know, like that come in. I don't know how many, though. Like I said, I think that they're going to do everything they can to keep as many people as possible. And I think they've already done it. You know, there were some people that probably would have left, but then they got some reasons to stay, I would say. And we'll see how that plays out in terms of, okay, you got them back now. How will you use them? Because, like I said, in the tournament, there were some people that you would think you would want to put a focus on, and they were out very early.
Let's look at some of the names that were out. Let's look at the second round, I think. I think the second round is more telling than the first round with Saya Ida, Yuna Mitsumori, Mirai, and Zuzu Suzuki going out in the second round on the first show. And then we had Hazuki, Wakatsukiyama, Mai Sakurai, and Sayaka Kura going out in the second round. Is there some of these names, from these names, Dylan, is there anyone that you would think would be joining next for the new promotion?
No, because like I said, I think they paid them off to stay. the ones that were surprising, especially not just Hazuki, but actually if you look at the way they did it, Ruwaka beat her tag partner in the first round, Koguma, and then beat Hazuki in the second round. And Ruwaka is not a star character in Stardom, with all due respect to her, nothing against her. But it was definitely a surprising run if everything were normal, so to speak. But I do think that ultimately they'll stay. But if they were to go, it wouldn't surprise me. I even said on a show prior, people like those two in particular were around basically very early on in Stardom's conception. You know, like they were around 10 years ago. Yep. You know, and they're people that you would look at that may have an affinity for Rossi and loyalty to him. I think Suzu losing, it's a little weird, but also is somewhat logical anyway, because she already had her title shot and stuff pretty much anyway. You know, you weren't going to have her win the Cinderella. They do a lot of upsets in the tournament most years regardless. So it is interesting. That's a name that a lot of people were speculating on, but it seems like she'll stay at the moment and maybe later, you know, in the next year or so, you know, in a few months, you know, I've heard that it'll be before the start of the summer, you know, before July, before June, whenever they do it, whenever this goes, this Rossi thing. The 6 months to a year after that, when these contracts roll over again, who's to say how much could change in that time?
Yes.
You know,
and who's to say that this new startup that Rossi Ogawa is trying will be successful in the end. There's no guarantee for that.
And that's one of the biggest changes that there could be made. Like right now, it seems like it's a great thing to come into this hot new product. Mm-hmm. But it's a really hard time to start a company right now. Kind of to go back to what we started off the show with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is a great time to start a wrestling company in Japan. Obviously, there were circumstances that kind of forced their hands that it had to be now. But look at the struggles Glade has had.
Yes,
as a company
exactly.
Starting in the pandemic. I think in terms of fan support and touching people's hearts and getting lifelong fans and sturdy group of supporters, I think now is a really hard time. And I think Rossi's group, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle to start off. And listen, these five people, yes, it's a good core group. Like, you've got a lot of things. Great talent, main eventers. Julie is one of the biggest stars, if not the biggest, in Joshi. But we know he's also going to use freelancers. They've already said that pretty much. It's already been talked about that's going to happen. They're going to bring in people. We don't know who's aligned with them. We saw with Stardom, they locked up Ano to a contract as well already. You know, there's going to be people that want to make sure, hey, if you work with Rossi's group, we don't want you here and Stardom. These kind of politics are very normal.
It's
split ups and things like that. It's not anything we haven't seen before, kind of what you were alluding to earlier. I think this one's a little interesting because of the specific backstory of it all. But overall, I think that, like I said, Yuzuki was a surprise. The other ones all make a relative degree of sense. We'll see what comes of it. You know, you look at you know, there's a lot of great talent on the indies as well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who's going to work with who. I mean, there's already been that stuff with AEW suddenly working with Stardom and Tony Khan talking mad trash on Rossi when he left on Twitter to like basically buried him on publicly. There could be, you know, who's to say? A lot of these companies didn't have heat. Will Stardom's guys try to spin it that, hey, this is a different group now. We can work with other companies better. Like, we'll work with a Tokyo Joshi Pro or an Ice Ribbon. We don't know.
That's interesting because Prominence, for example, is a group that came together of wrestlers leaving Ice Ribbon a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they started their own thing. They got some shows on Wrestle Universe. But now, after 2 years, after the second anniversary, they said they were discontinuing their monthly show. They always ran Shinkiba First Ring and, gotta say, not very successful. I was always in between 100 and 200 people in the audience. And that project didn't really work out in the way that they thought it would, I gotta assume. So it's going to be really interesting what this new thing that Rossi Ogawa is starting has in the background. I was thinking about it. If they could get a deal with Wrestle Universe going, that would be great for them. It would be a streaming service they are on. They would be visible to audiences internationally. Then I was thinking about, TJPW is on Wrestle Universe, and I don't know if they would want them on there. But then again, I don't think that TJPW to Cyberfight is important enough to rule out that Stardom or that the new group that Rossi is opening up could just drop their shows on their streaming service. So that would be a good opportunity for them. But it all depends what kind of backing Rossi Ogawa has. And I gotta assume that he has sponsors in his back pocket from the years that he has been in the business. Just depends on who wants to invest money in pro wrestling during these times now.
Exactly. That's why you're seeing, like, that's why there weren't more people that left. Bushiroad mm-hmm. has all, like, the deep pockets they could get in. But from what I understand,
the other talking point, of course, is Julia. She's leaving for Rossi now, but is she going to America in a year or two?
Yeah, you have to speculate that would happen, I would say. The thing is, she's not going to AEW, like, you know, for all kinds of reasons. she's not going to go there to be an indie wrestler. So, like, what WWE is such a weird, like, unstable company in their own right that they may want her now. They may view it as a sign of disrespect that, you know, like we've heard with a lot of the free agents that AEW signed. WWE's whole pitch was, well, we're WWE. Like, you can come to us. We don't have to pay you that much, like, as much as AEW. We've got WrestleMania. And like, a lot of these new wrestlers are like, we don't care. Like, we want to get paid. Like, we want the most money overall. WWE, they just think they're number one and everyone's going to go to that. And how dare you not, like, bow to our wishes? So if they see somebody that did her own thing, who's to say that somebody won't get angry or people will get fired there, people running the company, the whole new regime would come in. Nobody can predict what's going to happen in a year or two with that company specifically, with all of their legal issues right now that they have. Like, there's no telling. Ari Emanuel might just be like, look, we're getting rid of everybody in this. And then who knows what could come. So it's a very unstable wrestling in and of itself, even in the best of times, is a very unstable thing to be a part of. But especially right now, there's almost no stability anywhere you look. And as far as Tokyo Joshi Pro, it's really just going to come down to which side has more heat with them. Do they blame Rossi or do they blame the company? Like, can one of these guys talk their way into working with them? Are they even that interested in it? Well, listen, there was that thing coming up about the Budokan show coming up in May, which both Stardom and Tokyo Joshi Pro are a part of, the nine companies deal. So that kind of tells you right there, I think it would be kind of hard for Rossi to get in like with them that way. But, you know, who knows? For all we know, that may have... Because we kind of talked about when that was announced. We expect there to be the first show. After that...
We'll see.
Exactly. Like, who's to say?
We'll see about that.
And that's what I'm saying. There's so much up in the air, so many questions for the next year, which is somewhat intriguing as a fan, you know, if you're into the backstage way of looking at things and who's going to jump where. I think in any form of wrestling, that's always exciting. Me, personally, there's no way you can say for sure or make a super accurate prediction, but from what I've been told, what I know, what I understand, I do think Iwatani and Shuri will be in Ross's company one day.
I would be shocked if they wouldn't. To be honest.
And, you know, and you'd have to think there are some people.
But for the time being, with these five wrestlers,
yeah,
there is no way that they could put up a touring schedule like the big companies have in Japan. They could do, let's say, 3 to 5 shows a month. That's top. They start with monthly shows first, because you mentioned it. They will have to use freelance talent, and they will need the freelance talent to be free on these dates that they want to run. And of course, it's of course another point of that is, will these five that left Stardom now be free to work other companies as well? I mean, like, I'm just throwing this around. Like Julia going, for example, to DDT, working there, that would be something. Or going to other Yoshi companies, that would be something too. Mirai, going back to TJPW, doing stints there. Everything and nothing at the same time seem possible right now.
I just think it's going to be tough for the Rossi people to work with Tokyo Joshi Pro because they're aligned with Stardom right now, ultimately. So maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe Rossi will talk his way into all of this. I'm not saying it's impossible. But it's not something I would expect if you look at the lay of the landscape right now. And again, maybe in a year's time, like, everything could be different. So I'm not saying forever, it'll never happen. I think right away, I don't personally expect that. But hey, like I said, Rossi is like, he's done these things before. You know, he started the company. Look at All Japan Women's and Arcion afterwards. Like, we saw people leave there. And this is, he's kind of running a very similar playbook if you look at how Arcion started. And I think he's wanted to recreate that in a lot of ways. We'll see how it goes, you know, coming in there. I definitely think he'll work with freelancers. He'll try to work with other companies. But actually, also, Stardom has worked with other companies a lot more the last couple of years as well. And again, we don't know if maybe Rossi was pushing for that, where people at Bushiroad wanted to do that. We can't say for sure, but I think like if Stardom tries to throw blocks around, you know, and you could see that totally happening, it's going to be tough for them. So I think they're going to focus on these five, get whatever freelancers they can that'll be regulars for the company. And there's a lot of great talent out there for sure that you can look at. Stardom, I mean, recently they just had Hashimoto and Sari on their shows.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great match, too. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the tag match they had. But they're trying, you can see they're trying to work with all these different people and get their ducks in a row, I think, before Rossi makes whatever his moves are here. So I think it's really smart game planning from Bushiroad how they've handled it, actually. I mean, it sucks that they've lost to people they've had, but they booked them in such a way last year that it minimized their impact. And I think right now, it's just, like I said, it's a hard time to start a company. So we'll see. You don't want to doubt Rossi. He's made it work a couple of times doing these new companies. He might have something up his sleeve that nobody expects, you know, some big names that, you know, nobody even thought of, or some moves. And it's very possible. But right now, I just think it's a really tough start for him. And with Stardom, I think they've come ahead. Anybody they wanted to keep, they've kept, ultimately. So you have to think that that's a win, yeah, at least for right now.
They are building heavily around Micah. Micah got the big win over Hutami Hayashishita at the final show of the Cinderella tournament. It was actually the main event above the Cinderella tournament finals, which, of course, was very logical when you look at who was in the matches. Micah versus Hutami and Hanan versus Ami Sarai. So Micah got a huge entrance there as well. She's been pushed as the main person in this promotion right now, and she's carrying on the World of Stardom Championship. Hanan won the Cinderella tournament. I thought the best match of the tournament was the one that she had with Starlight Kid. That's what I enjoyed the most. Semifinals, Asumi was very good as well against Miyu Amasaki. Other than that, most of the matches I thought were pretty okay. Nothing that really stood out to me in any way. Hanan, though, her way throughout the tournament to follow that was very fun. I thought that she gained a lot throughout this tournament, that she gained a lot of self-esteem as well there, winning this tournament and being in a prominent position. Really, for the first time in her career, she was up that far in the card. And her winning is another sign who they will be focusing on in this year, I guess, Dylan.
To me, I thought Hanan versus Mirai was the best match. That was like
that was very good too. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was surprising how they did it as well at the time. And like I said, I already knew Mirai was leaving, so it actually wasn't that surprising to me. But they worked it in such a great way where it really had a great shock factor to it. I thought it was great when you look at how they used her. It's a little surprising in a lot of ways because, you know, you look at it, you had Starlight and Azumi there who have been around for so long and have never gotten a win like this.
Yeah.
And then you give it to Hanan.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's really interesting. Yeah. and kind of like what I said about people maybe who were going to leave before. That felt like a little bit of a message being said. That's another problem. Again, what I said about respect, it's not just WWE thinks that way. Maybe there were some people that wanted to leave and need to be put in their place now, according to that. Hanan. I mean, she's a great young talent, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just, like I said, you have other people here that are more experienced that haven't had their moment. And it feels like she kind of jumped in line.
Yeah, exactly. She's overlapping. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Ami Sarai, God bless her. But why couldn't this have been Azumi in the final overall?
That was very surprising as well that Azumi. I hadn't read the results prior, and I saw the semifinals, and I was saying, okay, yeah, Hanan versus Azumi makes a lot of sense, but no.
And the way they did it, Ruwaka going another way, it's like it's clear that whole block was meant to push these two very young talents as like a heel babyface type of, you know, thing. But the problem is that, like, Ruwaka is not ready for that. And I don't want to be mean, but because they're a little older now, they're like late 18, like 19 or something like that now, 19, 20. Like, Azumi is only, like, 22, and she's been around 10 years. You know, like I always say, there's age old, and then there's wrestler old. Or, like, wrestler young as well.
Sumi is a veteran now.
Exactly. Azumi is wrestler old. Like, even though she's, like, only 22. It's crazy how that works. You know, but I don't know. Like, I don't know what they're doing, to be honest with you. I was really surprised by that whole side of the bracket.
Mm.
And I'll tell you this, though. That Cinderella tournament final, that show, you had Julia and Tom as their last match or whatever.
Right. And that was a very surprising finish to me as well, that they went to a time limit draw.
Oh, I thought it was, like, perfectly made sense. Like, I totally expected that when they had the match. I was like, this is going to end in a draw for sure.
Mm.
And they did it. The match itself was, like, good enough. I mean, they did their thing. It wasn't that great, to be honest with you, but it was good. Like, it was a totally fine match of their style.
I mean, when you see the time limit that they got, I guess, that told you.
Yeah, like I said, and plus, Julia's leaving. She's not going to job on her way out to Tom. Like, and they weren't going to put Tom under.
Yeah, she did the job to Stephanie Vaquer, though, for the strong title.
Boy, what a mess that was.
The finish totally sucked. The match itself wasn't good either.
The thing is, I thought the match was good until the finish. That also happened 9 minutes into the match.
The thing, though. I think the match was on a moderate level, getting to go in a different direction, and then it just ended.
Yeah, and like I said, because on paper, you think of those two having this epic match. Mm-hmm. You know, and this was not it at all. And the finish was awful. And then the post match was just it sucked.
What the fuck overall. Was that? Yeah.
Well, Stephanie did something like that in Arena Mexico. Actually, it was a callback to something. It was like with Tessa Blanchard of all.
Oh,
people.
Right.
They did. So they kind of called back to that. I don't think it was a shoot, to be honest with you. But I mean, who knows? Maybe it was. But if you want to see somebody totally checked out. Look at Julia when she walked out of the ring and Nakano walked up to her. It was like, I can't wait to leave this place.
Yeah.
So I don't think she's putting in her best effort, to be honest. I don't think she has in a long time. I don't think last year was a good year for Julia overall, unfortunately. And I hate that she's gone out this way, because I remember at the end of 2022, like, this is the biggest star in wrestling, you could argue. And now she's just like leaving with a whimper.
And now we have a show coming up at the end of April called All-Star Grand Queendom in Yokohama Buntai, Dylan. And what's going to be the main match for that?
Oh, yeah, kind of bringing around my point.
Sorry.
Yeah, you had the Julia Tom match. Compare the Cinderella final to the main event with the red belt.
Yeah.
This crowd cared so much more about the Cinderella match than Micah and Utami. It was ridiculous. like Ami Sarai, of all people, getting his pops here. And Hanan, the fans really bought in. Again, I wouldn't have done this. I would rather Azumi or Starlight be the one to get this personally, just for, you know, I think they're more ready. But this worked. Like, for now. Completely. Yeah. Like, this Hanan thing really worked. It did great. So you have to give her credit. Ami Sarai, always over-hated on, in my opinion. Ami Sarai, she's a good... I really liked her when she first came in. She's another one last year was a victim of poor booking, in my opinion, more than anything wrong with her. But to come here, I did think Azumi should have been the challenger, but the fact of the matter is this. The fans rallied behind this match, and they did great, and the main event was not over at all. And like, it was a 30-minute, not interesting match.
It was so slow.
Utami might be another one that might not have wanted to go full out. Guess it's a shame. I feel so bad for Micah. Her title reign has been so overshadowed by all of this backstage stuff. She doesn't feel like... You were talking about they put so much behind her, but to me, she doesn't feel like the champion you want.
But they try. The you know, they try to put most effort behind her. I mean, like I said, they are giving her these big entrances. They're giving her the big matches. They're giving her the main event. But absolutely, she is... Yeah, she's just caught in this entire chaos that went on backstage. That's right, yeah.
And I've always loved her as a wrestler. You know, I thought she was kind of underrated for a long time. They made the decision to put the red belt on her, which it was tough. I think we talked about that, that Stardom, the end of the year show, where it was Micah and Zuzu.
Yep.
And but I just thought, yeah.
Imagine right now that Zuzu would be the champion. It wouldn't be better either.
No, and I was literally about to say that exact thing. Like, okay. When I watched that match, neither of these two felt like main eventers to me at all. Like, and I still don't think that. Like, I don't think either one of those are main eventers at the moment.
Yeah, then, but those who are left, some of them have to be main eventers.
I think Tom will get the belt back real soon. Mm. Like I said, overall, like, I think that's where this is all probably building to. I think the ultimate end game of Stardom and the red belt, when they really want to take the big jump forward, is when they do what they wanted to do last year and have Kamatani get the red belt.
Yep.
I think that's when we're going to see things play out how they want overall. But Micah's doing her best. Love her as a worker. Like you said, they're not like, it's not like they're doing anything wrong with her. It's just the timing of it all. And I do think that you want, there's a little something that I don't think she has right now, like to be the top star. Like, she's a great worker, but I don't see her as a top star. Like, you know, when Julia won the belt or when Shuri was champion, I don't think she has what they had, or Utami the first run. I think that they were forced into a terrible position with so many injuries. And that's another thing that hurt this whole thing. We know that match wasn't supposed to happen. She never beat Nakano for the title.
And that's the thing, you know, with when Julia won the title from Shuri, it was the end of a very long and very well-built storyline. And this one here, it basically fell into place because other opportunities or other possible solutions were just injured.
Yeah, they just had to throw it together. It was, you know, but I applaud her. She's a good worker.
Yeah.
None of this is her fault. It's just a tough situation, and I do think they're probably going to need to pivot pretty soon. Hanan, you know, the way that the tournament worked, she challenged Ano for the white belt. I don't think she'll win, to be honest with you.
No.
But I mean, they had her win the tournament. So.
But given that Ano signed, I think she'll be positioned strongly.
Yeah.
Mm.
As she should be. She's one of the. She has a star power and an aura.
She has an aura, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she's somebody that you'll probably see a lot more of anyway. And to be honest with you, I think she was going to sign either way, regardless of this Rossi stuff. To be honest, I think that you can't just have her around and then just be like, no, we don't want her. No.
That brings me back to my question that I had here. What's going to be the main event for All-Star Grand Queendom?
My guess would be Micah Nakano.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like they've set anything up. I mean, they got this Momo thing.
Yeah, Momo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Momo and Micah, they're going to have their match, but Momo is like, nobody. What?
It's not going to be a match for that building.
No, not at all. And Momo was great years ago. I don't think she's very good anymore with a Wado tie. But this is an interesting storyline. I said, I think if you had a stronger babyface, you could make something out of this, like a lot more. Like when Momo and Azumi had their feud, it worked really well, even in short matches. I think Red Belt versus a champion that's kind of not a blowaway success. I don't want to say she's failing because I don't think that. But it's not a blowaway success. I think we can all agree on that right now. I think this is not the kind of match for that or anything. So I would presume that Micah beats Momo, and then Nakano will challenge her after.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, turmoil-heavy part of this show, turmoil-heavy months for Stardom. We'll see how that all goes on and who will eventually be the main event talent. When you said it about the white belt, I would actually think that with these five gone, they would need Ano in a more prominent role. So putting the white belt on Hanan seems very early. But then again, you've given her this tournament victory right now, and Ano should be needed in other positions. So maybe they'll pull an upset there.
I think they're going to go really heavy with Cosmic Angels. The way they built up to Poi's return, Nakano, they loved so much and pushed her so hard last year. Ano, the white belt champion. Like, you could tell Cosmic Angels is, like, what they... That's their, like, what they want in Stardom right now. And I think those, all of those people will get big pushes. I can see Poi being another one that could be a threat to get a big push. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she's a great talent. Again, no shade thrown at all. Poi's a great talent, you know, and very charismatic, such an insane character in a lot of ways. But in a good way, obviously. You love what they're doing. With Anno, Micah's faction. I like the group that they fit around her as well. I think they've done a pretty decent little job here. With EXV, you know, because you built up her and Mina, and like Mina was kind of doing the Club Venus thing. It wasn't really working. So they put them together. Hanako, a great young talent, power rookie. You know, so they've got a nice little crew around her.
Now that I think about it, hasn't Micah also called out Megan Bain?
Yeah, didn't they say they were going to do that show in America?
I think. That makes sense. Yes,
I think. I don't know. But I do think that either way, Megan, and they obviously have a storyline with Megan Bain as well, with Micah, that you would want to go with as well.
Yes.
We'll see. We'll see overall. And they did accept it. So, yeah, they're going to have their match in WrestleMania weekend, Megan Bain and Micah.
Yeah, just looking at it, right? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so, Momo, would they really put that in the main event of the All Star? I mean, how far did they fall? Like, that's like so far in 1 year. Remember last year, the show they had?
Yeah.
It's not going to be like that again this go around.
Nope. Yeah, interesting times for Stardom. Bushiroad definitely has a call in what happened in the last couple of months, and it shows with the departures and the state of the company right now. And they have to build up new talent, and we'll be watching closely what they do this year. Okay. And very comparable to that, actually, Dylan, is New Japan Pro Wrestling, the other company.
Absolutely.
Under the Bushiroad banner, they also have to build up new stars. Last time, the last couple of shows we discussed Katsuhiko Okada leaving. He now, very awkwardly, Okada won this part of this modern North American Triple Crown that also had a New Japan title, but of course he didn't win the New Japan title. It's all a mess with this Triple Crown they had in AEW. But over in New Japan Pro Wrestling, we had Yota Tsuji win the New Japan Cup in the main event against Hiroki Goto. Hiroki Goto was probably not the one that was supposed to be in the main event with David Finlay getting injured. Lots of people thought that Finlay would make the finals. For my liking, this final was much, much more interesting. Even though, of course, you knew that Hiroki Goto was not winning the match, Goto put so much effort and heart into this match that I want to use your phrase too, God bless him, David Finlay, but Finlay would just not have been able to produce the match that Goto was able to have with Tsuji to draw you in. And that's the thing. You knew that Goto was not going to win this match. But deep down, there is this belief, this yearning for a Goto fan to have Goto win these matches. And so he was able to draw me in for some of those near falls in the end of the match. And that also goes to Yota Tsuji to work the match in a way that you think there could be an upset, even though you know realistically there is no chance for Goto winning. So the match overall, it was, I would say, a good New Japan-style main event that goes along with the style that we've seen in recent months and years. And Yota Tsuji probably was the best guy in the tournament, running rampage over many, many guys in this tournament. Notably, of course, this great finish that he had with El Fantasmo, with his curb stomp from the top rope. That looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Yota Tsuji now, he is the winner of the New Japan Cup 2024. Dylan, first, what did you think about the winner and the match in the final, and then what was your overall take as someone who watched all of the matches on this tournament?
Yeah, one of the fools who watched this tournament. how can you say that Goto wasn't supposed to be here? Look at this huge run he had with the two wins he got to get to the final.
The great stuff about that is that in the video building up to the final, they mentioned David Finlay as one of the wrestlers he beat, even though he did not.
I mean, he won by forfeit. So, listen, when you take wins, how you can get them when you're Goto. The match was great. Definitely the best match of the tournament. Goto being a great worker is not a surprise to me at all. I had expectations that this would be a great match. And it worked out. It really did. It brought the best out of Tsuji. And I think that with the match, I actually thought it was possible Goto would win. Not because of Goto, but just because they wouldn't want Tsuji to face Naito. And a lot of people are speculating about Moxley and the things they're doing there.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't rule it out at all. And I kind of wanted Tsuji not to win because of that reason. In my opinion, Tsuji's first title shot should have been at the Dome. Like, if you look at him throughout the tournament, he is clearly the guy. Like, it's so obvious that he has the aura that you need. His wrestling is just getting better and better. He had a fantastic bounce back after the terrible hair versus hair match they had, him and Waimura, and we could see who was at fault for that in hindsight, ultimately. And it wasn't him. Like, you look at his run in this tournament.
Quick
he was getting
detour, quick detour on Yuya Uemura. Man, he looks so much just like a guy right now.
No aura at all.
No aura at all. Man.
Yeah, that's he's tough. Going nowhere. Overall. And I think all of them, I mean, you know, it's tough overall for them. But Tsuji was the one shining light of an otherwise awful run, I would say, overall. I mean, you're like struggling to find good matches outside of the stuff he did, I would say. I guess you could say...
The Zack Sabre Jr. versus Rey Narita match actually was good for the part when they did wrestling.
Yeah, I thought that match sucked. But, I don't think Naruto's very good, actually, as a wrestler. Like, I've kind of turned a corner in a negative way. I think he's lost. I kind of like Sho when he joined House of Torture.
I mean, sure. Like, yeah.
You know, I don't think he's very good, actually. Unfortunately. I thought Yoshiashi and Sanada had a really good main event.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it because they called back to their old feud they had. I mentioned it on the Patreon. One of my favorite New Japan moments is when Yoshiashi first pinned Sanada in the tag match, and you had Goto rush in and hug him afterwards. And it was such a real moment. But obviously, you knew Sanada was going to win that. I was surprised, actually, that Sanada beat Jungle Boy. I figured that they would want to have him pushed more and him to get his win back from when he lost before, but Sanada actually won it. It made the match a lot better with him and Goto, for sure. Sanada had a nice little run in the tournament overall. Outside of that, I mean, it goes to show you.
Yeah, there really is nothing, man.
And I think back to our conversation last episode, four weeks ago now, when we went up the roster. This roster is bad. Like, this is not a talented roster in any way. Like, in terms of star power, wrestling, this is a poor roster up and down. And they deserve blame as much. It's easy to point the finger at Gato, but then you see the wrestling that we've been presented with in this company. This is not a good company in the ring right now. And hopefully Tsuji is a guy, and obviously pushing guys like Goto will help that if that happens. But
I said it on Twitter and Dr. Jonathan as well. They desperately need a veteran like Goto in a position where he can have title matches with younger talent to elevate them, much like he did with Yuta Tsuji right here. But they chose to give two of their belts away to foreigners. And to foreigners that haven't even been part of their company at all, that are new to the company. And we said it last time, that's not something that they need right now. They need talent that the crowd can attach to, that have been there and that have been pushed organically, but instead they put on two belts on Matt Riddle and what's his name?
Nick Nemeth.
Nick Nemeth, right. I was just going to say Dolph Ziggler, but of course it's Nick Nemeth.
The never title.
Yes, the three never titles. The triple crown of never they have there.
The belts are worthless.
Yes, they put these titles. But Goto wearing a belt would elevate a belt like the global title just because he is so great at it. And they just won the Never Open Weight six-man tag team title, obviously, because Yoshihashi, Goto, and Tomohiroishi is the best trio they have. And Goto in the main event position or in a semi-main event position would be still very valuable to the company because he could lead this talent to good matches and could get them over with the crowd because he knows how to do it. But no, they instead went with other ideas. And these other ideas, and you said it, the wrestling in this company right now is not good. And there is few highlights, really. And
yeah.
And then we can talk about the House of Torture run in this tournament, Dylan. And we said it on the last show. The last show I named Ghetto 101 because it's the thing that Ghetto knows. The thing that Ghetto knows how to book is this stuff right now. And given that the company is where it is right now and the wrestling is where it is, and it clearly has a ceiling, and you see that in this tournament, I can't really blame Ghetto for doing what he did in this tournament because A, that's what he knows, and B, this House of Torture shtick is a way to throw smoke and mirrors over the non-existent high-level New Japan matches that we could get presented that we had years prior.
Yeah, I made a similar point on the Patreon. Like, this stuff sucks, don't get me wrong, but if they tried to go out and use their roster and to have the best matches possible, it would still not be very high level, ultimately. So they're trying to do something completely different.
It's kind of an excuse in that way.
I don't think it's actually working at all.
No, it's not.
and even like for all of the talk of them being this heat machine, so many run-ins happened to no reaction in their matches, like one after the other of people running out to not a lot of crowd heat, ultimately, which is very interesting. Unlike Tsuji's win, which got a huge pop at the end. Suddenly, that crowd in that final, by the way, they were like buzzing behind Goto in there, even against Tsuji. I was very interesting how that
worked. I gotta say one more thing that really is taking a lot of excitement for me from this tournament is the venues that they used.
Oh yeah, great point. Totally agree.
These industry halls, they just look so awful for pro wrestling, man. Aora Nagaoka is a venue they use a lot, and it's just so hard to get real crowd reactions in these big venues. The ceiling, the actual ceiling I'm talking about.
Yeah.
the ceiling is so high that a lot of the cheers and boos, they just get caught up with these big buildings, and they should use some proper buildings that are good for pro wrestling. Like, for example, like Nagoya International Conference Hall. That's a great pro wrestling building, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like, too, how this kind of continued the trend from last year in the tournaments, where a lot of these mid-tour shows weren't great numbers, and they did a nifty number at the end, like for the final.
Yes.
It was still down from like last year's final, but like almost double of what happened at the end of like the year when they came to Aura and Nagaoka.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the fans will show up for the big finals of these tournaments. It's just everything in between that they don't want to come in.
I mean, look what they gave you, for example.
why would they? Great point. Yeah, obviously.
They went to this building in Uwajima on March 12th, and they gave you Hiroki Goto versus Chase Owens in the main event and David Finlay versus Tangaloa in the semi. Why would you come to these shows?
I wonder what... It would have been interesting if Finlay had made the final. Because I think he could have won.
That's
you know, interesting. It makes sense if you look at their booking. He lost the belt last month. So, of course, that means he has to lose up.
See, you've picked up on my logic of New Japan tournament booking.
Not all tournaments, but New Japan, yes. Gato booking, yes, it makes perfect sense. You have captured the mind of Gato 101. Which, by the way, when we released that episode, I got a DM right away that was like, as soon as I saw the title of the show, I knew it was going to be good. But I think that he definitely could have won. I think Goto winning wouldn't have been impossible if you look at the Naito being the champion versus Tsuji. What do you think about Tsuji right now? I think we can all agree he had a great run in the tournament. The final was awesome, and he has a swag about him that separates him from a lot of these other guys.
Him from the rest of the roster.
Yeah, from basically the whole roster at this point. And that's the thing, when you were talking about Goto being the semi guy, I was like, when you really look at him, when we read those names off last month, we were talking, and it's kind of like, no, Goto shouldn't be up there. But actually, the way the roster is, he by default is actually one of the top stars now. Yeah. To me, he's a better option than Tanahashi, like overall at this point.
He is.
I don't think that they could trust Tanahashi anymore, as much as it pains me to say.
We've seen this. Yeah, we've seen this with this injury now. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, it pains me as well, but this is finally the time now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is it. Like, he lasted a lot longer than everyone besides me thought. But even at this point, like, you have to see what's going on. And I think Goto is one of the top stars of the company now. Like, if you were looking at the hierarchy of New Japan right now, who are the top stars besides Naito? I think is like hands down the number one. And I think there's a large gap between him and everyone else.
Yeah.
But who would be like the next three of this four pillars of heaven?
Right now, with the roster they have.
Yeah.
Well,
I think you could argue Tsuji is one of them.
Tsuji is definitely there. Sanada
had a good. I liked his wrestling during this tournament, but as a star, him as champion, I think is tough.
That's tough, but I want to say he bounced back well from his title loss.
Yeah, to Naito. I agree.
Bounced back well from losing to Naito again. I think
that was really poor booking, but he made the best of it in this tournament.
Exactly, and he made the best of it. And I think, even though the title run wasn't good, I think he gained some momentum out of it.
I thought the ending of it in the dome where he saved Naito,
exactly,
like that overwrote all of the bad stuff that came before it, because it was such a great moment.
Yes. And he gained respect in the fans' eyes, I think.
Yes, absolutely. So,
even though he's not main event level material, he is a bit higher than he was before he was champion last April.
And higher than most other people in the company
right
now.
And that makes him
main event level. Yeah, good point. You won me over on that one. Like, I agree with you now.
And then there would be Evil.
Yeah, he's kind of like their go-to guy.
He is the guy that they put in these positions whenever they want to put over someone like Yota Tsuji.
Yeah, he's kind of like the natural foil, almost. Even though, like, we've seen him when he gets pushed, the fans don't really, like, in terms of ticket sales, never respond.
It doesn't resonate in ticket sales, but it is
something they like.
It's the foil that they use,
Yeah, so do you think that he'll beat Shingo for the title? You think he'll retain the title?
I think so. Yes,
I actually think, even though I don't,
both outcomes are possible, but I think
it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like, I think that's the problem with the belts too in New Japan, is that none of these titles matter. Actually, they're like, and that's the thing. Evil and House of Torture.
Great Okada has one. He has the fourth ranked NEVER title.
Man, he's another guy. I mean, and I'm not even saying that I'm a fan of his, because I'm not. But how is he lower ranked than Tenga Loa on your roster? Like, what? You know, it's one of those things that you can't do anything with this guy at all. Crazy. But yeah, you know, Evil, definitely up there. Now, Shingo was champion before. Like I said, we're in tough times because these are guys they haven't utilized all year, but now they're thrust into these roles.
They have to.
Yeah, exactly. They have no choice. Not even Goto. Like I said, he would be up there now as one of the top guys. And I think Finley as well, when he comes back, will be one of the guys they rely on.
True.
They lean on. So, you know, they have some guys, but I mean, that's a rough lineup we're talking about in terms of star power at this point. Like I said, in an ideal world, Goto should not be a title contender. But the world we live in, he's one of the best guys.
Of course, the one that we didn't talk about yet is Zack Sabre Jr. They were careful to put him out of the tournament. He lost to Renarita, obviously, but only due to shenanigans from from House of Torture. So they somewhat saved him. But for Sakura Genesis, that leaves him without really anything to do.
Yeah, I don't think he's a star. Like I said, good wrestler, but I don't think they see him as a difference maker. I think they see more of Finley than him as a
think
foreigner.
So too, yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, what about Phantasmo? They gave him a little bit of a run.
He lost to the eventual winner of the tournament, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the better matches.
Yeah, I think that's the point. I think Phantasmo is seen more of a star from them than Zack Sabre Jr. is.
Man, it's tough. I mean, how old is Zack? He's in his 40s, right? No.
Phantasmo?
Oh, no, that's Zack.
Zack is 36.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's, it's a little younger than I thought.
Yep.
No. Okay. That's interesting. Like I said, because there's a lot of good to him.
Isn't Phantasmo older? I think Phantasmo is older than Zack. I think so.
Wow. Yep. Wow. And Zack started so young, too, when he wrestled.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Phantasmo is a year older than Zack. Yeah.
That's really interesting. And again, it's nothing against Phantasmo. I thought he worked well against Tsuji. You just, on paper, you would think Zack would be a guy you want to push more. But I don't know. They gave him a great run. Like, I'm not saying he's not meaningful to them. Like, he had a great run with the TV title last year. That was a good mid-card spot. But I just think when you talk about being the champion or like winning the title, I don't think they see him that way. It would be cool if they, like, now you could do a lot of interesting things with his character and style if they wanted to, but I don't think they want to though.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
But what do they want to do with the title?
That would have been my next question. Let's look at the card that we have coming up for Sakura Genesis, and maybe we can figure something out. What they are doing here.
Yeah, like
this
is the problem with New Japan. We can't think about what we think. We have to think about
what they want.
Exactly. Like, you know, everything would be different if it was up to us. But yes, we'll try to figure it out, folks, out here.
So, for Sakura Genesis on April 6th, WrestleMania weekend, we have in the opener El Desperado and Ryusuke Taguchi against Zack Sabre Jr. and Kosei Fujita. Desperado would be one of those guys that I had in line for a push, Dylan.
No. He's 40.
That's true.
Is it? Yeah.
That's true, but he's popular.
No. No, he's not getting a push.
Another one maybe would be Hiromu Takahashi in the second match. Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi against David Finlay and Gedo.
The thing is, Eddie Jr. is an automatic... That? Yeah, like Eddie Jr. heavyweight is automatic no.
I know that. I know that. I'm just saying what I would
do. Oh, well, yeah. Like, what we would want to... Again, see, that's a totally different question. Somebody like Desperado should be, like, doing much more than he's doing, but I don't think they think of him that way. And Hiromu, I don't know. This is crazy. Like, Hiromu's... It makes no sense what they're doing. Like, just totally wasting him away. Ridiculous on their part.
Absolutely. Especially, this match with Mustafa Ali, and that's what he's doing on the big show. Second match.
Well, that shows you how little they put that little thought they put into that Hiromu and Ali match. Ultimately.
Zanada, Yuya Uemura, and Doki take on Jeff Cobb, Great O'Khan, and Callum Newman. Callum Newman has been good recently. Some good matches he had.
And a heavyweight, which we disputed on the last episode.
Apparently so, yeah.
Again, in their eyes, anyway.
But these remnants of the United Empire, Dylan. Why are they still doing this?
Well, we do have to take the L on Newman being a heavyweight. We both got it wrong.
Yeah.
But that doesn't disprove your point that this group makes no sense anymore without Ospreay. I mean, the thing is, remember O'Khan cut that really emotional promo like backstage against the match he was not in because they didn't want him there.
That's told you a lot about what they think.
And then Okada just walked by him. I think this company walked by Okada.
Still the best meme of the year.
Yeah. Poor Okada, man. Like I said, I don't even think he's that good, but like why do they hate him so much?
I don't know, man.
But the group, though. And the thing is, though, you could argue every faction. Like, why is Chaos still a thing?
That is a topic that we've passed by years now.
But even more so now that Okada's gone.
Okada's gone, yes.
And that's a great thing, too. Goto had a great promo leading into the final where he was talking about, first of all, his dad had passed away recently, yes, which was a very emotional thing. And then he made it like, he was like, I need to prove that joining Chaos was the right choice. And I was like, that happened 7 years ago.
And it wasn't even like, it was a choice that he made because it was...
In terrible fashion.
Yeah, exactly, yes. He made that because he was a loser. So he figured, okay,
yeah,
I'm going to be the third ranked guy in Chaos now.
Yeah, it totally ruined him as like a main event level person. Like that whole deal.
Yeah.
But I love how they brought that up. Like, I needed to prove that it's the right choice. What? Like, that happened 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago. And now you need to prove that it's the right choice? Yes. What?
After 6 years, he gets to evaluate his choices.
Oh, also, we didn't even mention it. What did you think of the finish to that match with him going for the Rainmaker?
I actually hadn't made up my mind about if I hated it or if I loved it.
I didn't like it, personally. Like, I thought it was such a, like, to me, here's how I read it. Maybe some people disagree, maybe you disagree. This felt like a parting shot at Okada. Like, okay, you're going for the Rainmaker, and he immediately turned it in. Like, if he had hit the Rainmaker, I think I would have liked it better as, like, a callback. And maybe he kicked out. But the way they did it, he basically immediately, like, it ruined the match. Like, him going for the Rainmaker screwed him over. Which I felt like a little last shot at the Rainmaker himself. I thought it was really petty.
It doesn't fit Goto in any way.
No, not at all. Yeah, and that's why I said I think this felt like something they wanted. Like, you know, specifically in the match, more so than a Goto thing.
Yep, I guess so.
And that's why it felt petty to me. Like why are we doing this? And it didn't make any sense for the match, really.
And that tells you that they probably told him, yeah, do that.
Yeah, like this, we got this idea. And I mean, it, a lot of people talked about it. It kind of worked in that way. But I felt like it was a petty shot at Okada, who they're clearly not very happy with how things played out, ultimately. But yeah, we Chaos, the groups, every faction in New Japan needs to blow up. And just everything needs to change.
Except there's more. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Title 3-Way Match. The War Dogs, Clark Connors and Rilla Maloney, defend against 2-2, TJP and Francesco Akira, and Kushida and Kevin Knight, who were on the video screen at the final show and said they were going to be the next challengers, which confused me because I thought that TJP and Francesco Akira would be the challengers, but they're doing a 3-Way now, of course. It's the Junior Tag Title. That's what they do.
That's what they do. I thought TJP was a heavyweight now.
Yeah. What about that now?
Yeah, what about that?
he was in the tournament, wasn't he?
He was. He faced Finley in the first round. Yeah, in a decent match. Like, yeah, not bad.
He lost, and then he's back to challenging for the Junior title now.
What was the point of this? Heavyweight run. I mean, if you could call it a run, the fastest return to Junior division ever.
Quicker than Atsushi Kotoge.
Oh yeah, Kotoge lasted for a couple of years, and now he's back as a heavyweight. So maybe one day that should be TJ's gimmick. Now, like every year, he has like a 1 week run as a heavyweight and bounces back. But nice to see Kevin Knight back. They said that he didn't re-sign, and now he's back doing his thing in a team that's probably not going anywhere. But.
Kushida. For all I know, I would just say TJP and Akira just win the titles back.
I mean, they're the best, like, as a team, they're the best team of the three. Like,
and they have the story that Akira overcame his fears in this cage match, which
Standout guys in the cage
put him over, exactly, so that would make sense.
the group, like you said, the group as a whole has a lot of issues just logically at this point. But I mean, the cage match was still great, and he was one of the main benefactors of it as well. So yeah, I'd go for it. I mean, the War Dogs. I mean, it's tough right now with them, with Coughlin retiring.
Very sad.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, that was a very sad situation. I hope the best for that guy. You know, I really hope he's doing all right overall. And all of the War Dogs took a hit from it. I mean, Finley had the thing, like, you know, derailed whatever was going on in the cup. Yep. So that group is kind of like flailing around right now. They might want to keep the titles on them just to give them something. But ultimately, I don't think the belts matter that much, sadly. But I could see, if I were to make a prediction, I think I'll say the War Dogs would retain. Just to give the group something, because they're at a tough spot right now.
Yeah, well, why not?
Exactly, that's
why not?
Yeah. What's next?
Oh, more Bullet Club, of course.
Yay!
IWGP Tag Team title, Kenta and Chase Owens defend against Bishamon, Hiroki Goto, and Yoshihashi, Dylan.
Think about this. If you're Gato, we talked about House of Torture, and we both, well, I wouldn't say we're fans of that style or House of Torture, but we both justified their push a segment ago. What upside do you think they see in Chase and Kenta as tag champions? What possible reason do they see? Can we justify this, says Trigger?
Isn't, like, Yoshihashi trying to challenge Kenta for the Defy title or something like that?
Defy title buildup is where the tag titles are?
That's the justification for this title run. I have no idea, man.
Hopefully Bishamon just wins. Like, it's not like you... The thing is, they're a great team, but the division is hopeless at this point. But they can at least have good matches. Kenta and Chase... I think there's literally zero upside with them at all. I don't think beating them means anything. The matches aren't going to be good. What's the point? Other than just a gold watch. Like, you know, like these guys have been here. Chase is one of their soldiers. So give him a title again. But they did that already with Fale. Like, how many times do you need to reward people in this company?
I don't know. I'm actually confused on what Hikuleo and El Fantasma are doing on that. Are they in America for WrestleMania weekend? Could be.
No, yeah, maybe so. I wonder when the plugs are going to get pulled on that Hikuleo push.
Yeah, man, he lost.
It's only a matter of time.
Title already.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time, if we're being honest. And this thing with him and Loa, it's weird because their brother is not there anymore.
Man, this card.
Let's say Bishamon just wins the titles for my sanity's sake.
Let's just go there. Yeah. And say that and hope that. But I want to say Dylan, Goto, and Yoshihashi are already the never tag champions, never six man tag champs.
Double champions, baby.
Yes.
Well, and I'm glad because their six man team is freaking awesome.
That is. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're a great team to hold those belts, and I actually think the six man titles actually mean more than the tag titles at this point.
Oh, yeah, I can make the point.
I mean, it's sad to say, but I think these tag titles are like below the earth in terms of value at the moment.
Yeah,
what's next?
Tough. Yeah, next up is the junior heavyweight title match. Sho defense against Yo.
It is unquestionably a match.
Clash. And
the thing is, this story's been told like many times over. No, Yo, he's one of those guys that he's had intermittent spells of showing something like flashes that he could be a dude in the junior division. It's another situation like all the title matches, the belt doesn't actually mean anything, unfortunately, so I don't think it would like be that big of a deal overall, but for a junior division it at least means something.
I mean at least they did tell some kind of a storyline with Yo going after the House of Torture guys there and playing some shenanigans on them backstage. So that was at least a storyline. That's more than we had for some junior titles matches back in the last couple of months and years.
What about when Desperado said he wanted Sho to join Strong Style? That was high a story.
Stakes. High stakes.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the stakes of this match?
I don't know if there are any.
The belt. Yeah, the belt stands alone. Do you think Yo could win?
How long has... Hashoa has only been junior champion for a short time now, right?
Yeah, he just won in February. I don't think he's defended it yet.
Yeah, and Yo stole the belt from him, actually.
Great. Everyone's favorite.
Mm.
Yeah, you figure Sho will win.
I figure Sho will win.
And plus, they're leading into the best Super Juniors as well, so... Great. I'm sure he will be. Maybe that'll be an excuse for him not to be in it. If he's the champion.
Maybe. Would make sense if, for the House of Torture to just ruin everything. Yeah,
it's one of those things. Well, they would save the tournament by not being in it, actually. Right. Actually, so will they be... Well, this is their babyface turn. We're not wrestling in this tournament. But no, I mean, I don't know. It makes sense. I'm not excited about it. Like, if you're asking me, like, none of these matches are like, oh, I can't wait to see Bishamon versus Kenta and Chase.
Mm-hmm. But, the next one is interesting. It's John Moxley and Shota Umino against Jack Perry and Renarita. What do you think about Jack Perry's run in New Japan?
Atrocious.
Absolutely.
He might be one of the worst workers on the roster right now.
I don't know, man. He seems so checked out.
I totally agree with that. And that's another thing. Because the thing is, he's become kind of a meme with all this punk stuff that happened at AEW.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you remember, he was having good matches in the past. You know, the thing with Luchasaurus, they had the cage match, the best match Luchasaurus ever dreamed to have. He was having big matches up and down. But right now, you look at him. And this is a guy, like you said, I don't know what the deal is. There's all kinds of goofy rumors going on. Who knows? Right,
it's funny how there's this rumors that he was trying to get out of the company and Tony Khan wouldn't let him. And Tony Khan is angry at him for costing him CM Punk. That's the rumors. And the next day, they announced this match where Tony Khan sends John Moxley to Japan to hunt Jack Perry.
Yeah, like he hates him so much that he ripped the contract up live on TV. Like I'm sure that would happen as well. But listen, he's gone rogue, this Jack Perry. He's gone. What do you think about the goat? The mask that he wears coming out.
The scapegoat thing.
Do you just skip his entrances?
I skip his entrances, and good move. I still think it's very goofy.
You haven't even seen it, and you know it sucks. But I can
imagine how it looks like. In my head, I see the mask.
Well, it's very bad. So, his run has not been a success thus far. Why do they keep putting these guys over? Like, nobody knows
And nobody's these reacting to him.
Yeah,
why would anyone?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody knows who this is in Japan. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, what are you thinking right now in New Japan with this Jungle Boy push?
I don't know, man. And we have the semi-main of the Sumo Hall show. It's Big Evil match. And Shingo Takagi for the NEVER title.
Yes, this gets my blood pumping, Striga.
That's what they introduced the global title for. That the NEVER title is still second from the top.
Crazy company. Are you fired up about this?
This cut sucks.
It does. I mean, that's undeniably true with what you've said thus far. No one's arguing with this at all.
This is all Naito Pro Wrestling because main event, of course, yes. Naito against Yota Tsuji. They are putting all their chips behind a guy that is probably on his last big run.
And guess then, what?
There is a big gap.
And guess what? This card's almost already sold out with Naito in the main event. So
sure it is.
Yeah, like that's what I kind of said. This is why I don't think they should take the title off of him to anybody. Yeah. now. Yeah. Like I think he should hold the title until Wrestle Kingdom. Get as much as you can. Squeeze as much blood out of the turnip as you can.
If they did a short Moxley run and Naito wins it back at Dominion, I think that would do good business for them.
Maybe. I don't think...
But then again, they can't... I mean, John Moxley can't beat Naito now because they've already announced the matches.
Well, he's facing Naito, right? At the US show.
Yeah. But that's April 2nd, isn't it?
Oh.
Or when is the show?
See, now we're all confused.
Naito versus Moxley. Oh no, it's the week after that. Actually, I thought it was April 2. It's April 12. Yes.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Okay, so yeah,
but still though, my point stands. If Naito drops it to Moxley and wins it back at Dominion, they would have a strong main event that would sell out another show in June.
I just think that Naito's so untouchable right now. Why have him lose at this point?
I agree.
You know, like, I think he'll sell out. I don't think, Moxley's in the main event, so that'll make it sell out. I think it's going to sell out because Naito's there against whoever he faces, regardless of Moxley's involvement. Nothing against Moxley, who I'm a huge fan of course, at AEW. And, you know, on Wrestle Update, he was nominated for, like, Wrestler of the Year on our awards last year. So I think Moxley does a lot of great things. And I think the match could be very good. You know, Moxley's going to be motivated going into it. To me, I just wouldn't have Naito lose to anybody. Ultimately,
I agree with that. But if they do this match, I have a hard time imagining that AEW agrees to this to be a one-time deal with the New Japan guy coming out on top.
I agree with you. Like, yeah, in terms of what could actually happen, I could totally see that. And like you said at the start, Naito's on his last legs. Like, anybody could see that if you watch him wrestle. Like, they're getting everything they can out of him. But if he loses, like, who's to say that, you know, that they would even go back to him again? You know, like, that might be the end of the line for him spot, at least for a little while. You know, he definitely could use some time off, I would say, while watching his matches the last couple of months. And we'll see overall. But here's the biggest problem with this. And it kind of circles back to the New Japan Cup. Tsuji is now in a spot where he is the afterthought of all of this.
Right.
Why couldn't he just had Goto get this match?
Yeah.
Like, it would have been perfectly fine. Like, it saved Tsuji's big moment for the Dome, as I said, or at least a bigger show.
But it's what they always do.
Yeah.
They always do these matches that neither guy should lose.
And it hurts them at the end. It never works out in their favor. But it's tough because, like, you actually have a pretty interesting story with Tsuji and Naito. You know, obviously the faction mates going at it. That's something they both talked about before. That's Naito's kind of the crux of his whole character is essentially that he wants the LIJ guys to surpass him and go their own route. We saw that with Sonata, the main event of the Dome, obviously. Mm-hmm. You have a great story. You had Sonata get the title last year after winning the cup in a big upset over Okada. You could tease that again. But now the way they've scheduled things out with this Moxley deal, it kind of pushes Tsuji back.
And you know Tsuji's losing because they've announced the title match with Moxley, and they never announce matches that they won't deliver.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that really hurts Tsuji's and takes some steam off of his big win in the cup. I think it was a mistake having him win in hindsight if this is what they were going to do. Because I do think that you could build an aura. I think if they just had a normal match, people would buy into Tsuji winning that title. Like, that they gave him a one-on-one match, no Moxley. I think people would buy into that. That it's possible that he would win.
I think so, too. But after all, this is a company of starts and stops, man. Look at David Finlay.
Yep, absolutely. Like, even my thought that he might win the tournament was like him failing up, pretty much. It's not like they gave this guy a great push in here or anybody. Like, there's nobody that they've given a great push to, like, or anything like that.
Let's talk about another guy, now that we've been in the main event here and talked about that.
Yeah.
Shota Umino.
What about him?
I
lost in the first round of Jungle Boys.
At the beginning of the tournament, I sent out a tweet that made someone create the Did Shota Umino Win account.
And somebody did. I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah. You inspired the generations. this is why you are a real-time superstar.
What is going on now?
Well, that account's not very accurate.
Do you still remember the motorcycle entrance at Wrestle Kingdom when you thought, hey, this guy has something right now? Yeah, but he's always paired with someone he loses to. on this roster. You could make the argument, and people have made that argument on Twitter as well. Iowa in Pro Wrestling Noah is the best pushed New Japan youngster.
The thing is, for all we praise Tsuji's run in the tournament, and we talked about who the top guys are earlier and everything like that, they're missing, outside of Naito, I think he's the one person that's an exception to this, they're missing that star player that you could use to build these guys. With all due respect to Goto, who I love a lot, he is not at an Okada level. Like, if Tsuji had beaten Okada last year, or even an Ospreay when they had their match, if he had beaten one of those guys, it would have felt like a momentous win for one of these guys. Who is that now that they could really get that big turning point win over somebody that changes their career? Because we've seen what the Goto win gets you, like a nothing title loss against Naito. Who is that guy that you could build up to the title?
Blank.
And that's the thing, like, Tsuji, it's not like he's...
Well, I quickly say, except that Chaos won the Never Six-Man title. Like, I just made that up. I don't know where I read that or what I've seen, but the Taiwan shows haven't happened yet, so that has not occurred. So if anyone was confused, I'm sorry.
I believe you.
You said see, I was... It was so convincing.
Well, they're going to win the tag titles. But regardless, though, like I said, Tsuji, it's not like they've had him. It's not like they buried him or anything like that, where he's lost to up and down the card. It's just he hasn't beat anybody like of note. It's like they've wrestled each other, the young guys, and, you know, then what? And he beat Goto just now. Like a guy who formerly, like last year, was thought as the ultimate mid-card guy. That's his biggest win so far of his career. Like, who is the big win that these guys could have? Their moment.
Naito.
That's exactly right. It's just a tough spot. And I think that's their ultimate problem. Like, if you just go down up and down win-loss record, who they faced, it's not like they've done bad by Tsuji. Except he hasn't gotten any real big wins that matter to his character, pretty much. And now they have a chance, and Moxley's getting a shot right after. So it's tough. And I think that this will be looked upon, it will be frowned upon at the end of the year, like this whole run, ultimately. I think they should have just waited. He should have been the G1 winner to me, and you could have built a whole show around his ascent to the top. And with Umino, he's the guy you would think would be like a more natural protagonist, so to speak, of the company. Because Tsuji's got that kind of vibe about him. Like, he's not like a top babyface Tanahashi type of guy. He's
no,
got
but
a little
he
bit
has
of a dark
vibe. That's definitely true. And that is, I want to say that they sometimes make weird decisions with guys that they don't push. But this one, I mean, of course, it's obvious that Tsuji is the guy. But we've seen crazier things in wrestling where promotions were presented the guy and didn't go with him. But they are going with Tsuji, at least with this push that they are giving him.
Yeah, and I don't agree. I think that they're not going with him. But like, that's why wrestling is so weird. That winning
but
this
given,
is actually
given
a negative.
What they think, given what they think what a push is, they are pushing.
Well, then what they think a push is not an actual push to the fans, unfortunately. So we'll again.
The final thing is here about New Japan Pro Wrestling. They have to hope that a guy with two shot knees and paralysis in his eye can keep up the schedule. That's their only hope that they have.
He doesn't need to be putting over Moxley. Like, he needs to put over one of these guys.
That's true.
Like, you know, and how can they not see that? What's something that seems so obvious? But it's New Japan. So
it is New Japan.
I think it's tough. Like, that tournament, my whole thought on that was, like, this company is... I titled the video on YouTube of the last episode, New Japan's Lost Its Way, and on Cage Match as well. This felt like it's not just lost its way. It felt like this is a sinking ship most of the time of this tournament. Tsuji's win gave us some hope for the future. But I still think it may not be sinking,
but it's still off course drastically. I would say, like, how they're doing it right now with Tsuji and Moxley and all of this. And maybe it'll all work out. Maybe it'll turn around and something crazy will happen. But
you know what cursed them?
They Okada and Ospreay leaving.
Well, yes, in the short run, that's what they cursed them. But yeah. the real curse, Dylan, is the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We didn't even bring that up.
Yoda Tsuji, he wants to separate the world title, retire the IC title, and carry on the lineage of the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Why isn't Naito doing that? Wouldn't that be Naito's deal to do that? Given his character and given his past? He never liked the unified titles.
He never liked the IC title either, though.
No.
He doesn't want that back.
They like the IWGP title.
He's hating the IC title so much, he's fighting to keep it away.
But he could retire it, too. He could just say, we're going back to the IWGP heavyweight title. And the IC title is gone.
I'm shocked at how many people care about this belt deal. Like, this happened 3 years ago. Like, when is it time to move on?
Well, apparently it's not time.
And they keep bringing it up. Like, so if you want to bring the belt back, bring it back.
Bring it back, yes. Do it.
Nobody's stopping you. No. And if you don't want to bring it back, then don't bring it back. That's fine.
It's not like anybody would care if they would just get rid of the world title.
I think maybe it's just me, but I don't care about this belt design one way or the other, personally. Like, you know, it's like none of them have any meaning with me or resonance with me. I know a lot of people, when they got into New Japan, they loved the old belt. And that's what they associate with the best times, with the Tanahashi and Okada and all that.
Yeah.
But
and that's the association that people have with the good times of New Japan Pro Wrestling that is associated with the IWGP Heavyweight title. And the IWGP World Heavyweight title has...
associated with bullcrap.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing, though. Like, if the title had looked different, we still would have had all of the Tanahashi and Okada matches. It was because of those great moments that they were great, not because the title looked did.
No, so, it's not about the design of the title. It's about the championship itself.
And I know a lot of people care about this, so I know I'm kind of on an island a little bit. But I just... Why bring it? Like, why does it matter? Like, book better shows. Like, that's what I care about. Have great moments that we can all talk about now.
No, we shouldn't be talking about titles. That's correct.
No, we can talk about it because they talk about it. Like, so if they didn't bring it up, we wouldn't be talking about it. But if you're going to smash the title, do what Finley did. Grab the hammer, smash the damn thing into pieces. And we'll talk about it on this next episode and how stupid it looks. And maybe, well, here's what they should do. Get rid of this title and create a new IWGP world title.
Oh, no.
To bring in. We need another belt.
Another lineage.
Yes, exactly. A new lineage. They're scrapping. This new belt is not associated with any prior title. It's a completely fresh start. And I think that would be the best option. Four belts is what New Japan has always needed.
Yes, that is definitely the thing that they should do.
Never title number four.
the new improved never title.
Yeah. What's with this company?
Let's move on, Dylan. Let's go to All Japan Pro Wrestling, final topic of this show. They have Ottawa coming up. It's going to be the final show in Ottawa for this year because they of the construction measures. March 30. We have a whole card in the opener. We have Actress Time with Mirai Aono and Ayano Irie against Koki and Kalamek. Then we are going to the actual All Japan card. Kasayashi is coming in.
Oh, okay.
Team with Seki Yoshioka and Fuminori Abe against Naruki Doi, Seiko Tachibana, and Ryo Inoue. Cool six-man tag match. Kasayashi recently won the G-Infinity title over in Great with Shima. New tag champs there. Kasayashi is finishing up his career, so he's making a stint here in his former promotion in All Japan. Makes a lot of sense.
Legacy player in the junior division of All Japan.
Yeah. Second match is Takao Mori and Osamu Nishimura against Kono and Toshiso, Dylan.
Yes. Back. Kono is back.
Yeah, baby.
It's what the fans needed.
We have a Road to Champion Carnival 8-man tag match. Kento Miyahara, Hokuto Omori, Kuroshio Tokyo Japan, and Ren Ayabe team up against Yuma Aoyagi, Shotaro Ashino, Ryukyu Honda, and Hartley Jackson. Shout out to Hartley for making it to the Champion Carnival.
Big love to Hartley. A great guy. I really loved talking to him when I interviewed him. And so many great stories of the past of 0-1 shenanigans that we've had. And hey, he's been doing stuff with Glate for a while. Now they have the working relationship. Yeah, we'll talk about the carnival block he's in, but he definitely fits in with the aesthetic they went for.
Yeah, he does. So the next match on this card is for the All Asia Tag Team titles. An electric current blast death match. Atsushi Onita and Toy from DDT, who won the titles, take on Hikaru Sato and Dentamura. Can we please finally rid Atsushi Onita of the All Asia Tag Team title? Please do.
Stringer, you know how we talked about at the start of the show, how like attendances are down and everything? You read these cards to me, it really clears the air of why that may be at the end of the day.
Man. Well, that's the match.
Junior Heavyweight title. Well, it's nice for Toy to get a nice spot here, I guess.
Nice spot on the card. The only DDT guy on the card.
Only because he is teamed with Onita. Yes. The other card.
For the Junior Heavyweight title, this is actually a good match. Rising Hayato in his first defense against Musashi, who recently departed Michinoku Pro Wrestling and has come into All Japan. I just watched their tag match from the 20th. And they have some real good chemistry going. Yeah. Musashi put away Hayato very definitively in their prelude tag with his finisher, the Niten Ichiryu. And so going to be interesting how they go with this title match. Obviously, it's Hayato's first defense, and she should defend the title, Dylan.
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was cool that they gave him the main event spot when he won the title. Yep. Even over the tag titles,
right?
As well, they
good
did over
that. Good that they did, because the tag team title match sucked.
Well, look who's in it! Old Tokyo, all caps, yes, is in there, yes. Which we'll talk about him a little bit more. But yeah, no, that was a good match. It wasn't like super spectacular. You don't have to rush out and watch it if you saw it. Most of
the time. It was not a good show. It was on the March 9 Kurikan Hall show. It was not a good show.
No, not at all. Like I said, you're right about that. But the main event was the best match. It was decent enough. And they gave him a lot of time, too, which a lot of Dan's matches weren't really happening earlier on. But it was the right call to move it to Hayato. I think he's got a lot more upside as champion. Great charisma. Musashi's one of our favorites for years. And it's great to see him on a bigger stage. And it's great to see him get this title match. I think that match is going to rock. And really going to impress some people. If you're not familiar with Musashi, you know, I think that this match, Hayato's on a real hot streak right now. It seems like they're really behind him. Again, very charismatic guy, great worker, great style to him. This is going to be a banger. I really have high expectations for it.
Something that I can't have high expectations given the last tag team title match is Suwama and Hideki Suzuki defending the world tag team title against Jun Saito and Rei Saito with Commander Taru, Dylan. That's what it says on the All Japan website here. It's Commander or General. What do you like more, Commander or General?
Not that sounds employed.
Not employed, Taru.
Yes. Yes, that is the best version of Taru. I hate Suwama and Hideki as a team. Like, I think
the finish of the tag title match on the March 9 show was so awful, so goddamn awful. They pinned both Kuroshio and Ashino and made them look like so big fools.
Well, like I said, for Jiro, it's okay, but not.
Yeah, but for Ashino,
Well, it shows you where he's at. The pecking order, unfortunately. Yeah. Jiro is just a curse upon this company. But the thing is, forget about them. Like, Suwama and Hideki suck as a team. Yeah. It wasn't just a finish. The start of the match was terrible. This storyline they have, why? What good is this doing? They had the singles match.
And it's getting even worse with Suwama. He at the press conference before that they did this week for this show, Suwama always took shots at Katsuyuki Nakajima as champion.
Yeah, that's the match they're building to.
Yeah, that's the match they're building to, while also saying that he's concentrating on the tag team title right now. Decide what you want to do. But yeah, that's the match that they're building.
When you're Suwama, you are involved in everything, every title.
Yeah, I would assume that Commander-in-Chief Taro will be responsible for a title change here.
It sucks things happened how they did with Rey's injury by forcing this title, because they were on a good run. I think they were at the point where beating them actually would have meant something. And then it got kind of derailed for the Sadeki Suwama thing. I could totally see the title change.
Yes.
But I don't have high expectations for this match at all.
Nope. Me neither.
Happy that they're going to go on a singles run. Like, this Hideki has been such a waste, like, worst run of his career, in my opinion.
I was so happy to see that WXW announced him and Tim Thatcher for the upcoming tag league in October. That's going to rock.
And they're both kind of in similar situations. They're doing the worst work of their career because they're in these lame tag teams.
Yeah.
If they were with each other in both companies, they would be awesome. And remember, they had that very brief run as like champions, Noah,
it was
as
awesome. The team.
And it was awesome. Exactly. So why are we doing... I don't know. Like, I hate this team so much.
Yeah. Saito Brothers back with the tag team title makes sense, at least.
But yeah, it does.
It's the worst possible thing that they have now because they went back to the Voodoo Murders deal.
Yeah.
And it's funny, Michelle pointed that out to me. The Saito Brothers, they are kind of doing a police deal. They also recently were police chief for this police station in Tokyo for one day, while at the same time associating with Taro and the Voodoo Murders.
This is like a reformation, I guess. Like trying to rehabilitate Taro.
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
I guess we'll have to see in this match if he is going to be a valuable member of society again, or maybe not.
When they're like all ultra baby faces. Voodoo Murders has changed their style. Total clean cut. I mean, I don't know. I loved what they were doing on their own.
Yep,
and I have no use for Voodoo Murders.
No.
Saitos.
No. And then we have the main event. Katsuyuki Nakajima makes his fifth defense against Yuma Anzai. And yeah, I guess so. Pretty close to the champion carnival. And given that they are building up the Suwama and Nakajima match, there is no chance for Yuma Anzai to win the match. But it's another main event for him. It's another challenge for him. And it's another opportunity for him to learn and to show that he is the next guy.
I mean, the match should be great. Yeah. But the way it all played out, the booking of it, I didn't like at the start. But for the reasons I feared we're heading towards where we're heading. Like pretty much with Suwama being the more focused option instead of Anzai. When to me, Anzai should be the big deal. And on top of it, when you look at the tournament, he was really one of the few guys that you could make a case for that they could win. Yep. And now I think it's a lot harder to do that when he's just coming off of a title loss to Nakajima. So the match should be great, but I don't love the booking of it.
That is it. Yeah. The card. This is not a great card.
The main event, like this is a one-match show, yeah. Maybe two matches.
Maybe Rising Hayato is going to be drawing in. Yeah.
What do you think of, let me ask you this, because we kind of went through it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched any of these Actres matches, like Actres Girls, All Japan matches?
I've watched them, but it's not that I've paid a lot of attention, I got to say.
What do you think of the idea? Because we had heard about that this had been Fukuda's, like, it was like a halftime show at basketball was kind of his idea. But actually now, like, they're putting them on at the start of the show. Like every time they're in, they're always the opener.
I think they dropped it after the first try and they are not convinced that it's working. Otherwise they would just try to make it work. So that's why they put him in this opening deals. And It's of course it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't try it, it won't get over. It was almost as if Fukuda had taken a shot by the reactions from the crowd.
Yeah,
they are so afraid now what the other reaction would be if they put them on the main card or higher up on the card, that they just, I don't think they have they don't want to do it anymore.
I get the feeling this was something he really loved and was hyped about at first. I mean, we saw it with the videos and all of that.
Exactly.
And then when it actually happened, it didn't work, and it was kind of like a gut punch to him. Yeah. And I think he's kind of overcompensated the other way about it. But it's not, you know, it's like, what's the upside to it at the best of times? Ultimately, if you look at their wrestling, it's not going to, like, capture the hearts of the audience, I don't think, either. Yeah. But I just thought it's interesting that they made such a big deal out of that. And then, like you said, basically after one, maybe two showings, it's, you know, like it's they're doing it. They're going away from what they said. And now this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's the card. Wondering what's the attendance going to be for that, because they also, Zuwama in the press conference said that Katsuri Nakajima is a unpopular champion. I wouldn't. I mean, of course, that's gimmick and stuff.
But yeah. You know? This is Noah all over again right now. Remember when the Noah president was like, Kaito's got no fans here.
Exactly, so, exactly. Yes, yes.
It's Nakajima's not over. Like, nobody likes him.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, we just put the title on him. Like, had him go over on a bunch of guys. But no. It's very interesting, him not being in the tournament.
I mean, that's what these tournaments are for, aren't they? Or shouldn't they? Should be for.
I mean, not usually. Like, I mean, usually yes, but usually the champion is also in the tournament.
Exactly. Usually the champion is in the tournament, but ideally the champion shouldn't be, because the winner should get the shot at the champion.
I do agree, but I do think that there's great stories to tell of a champion winning the tournament at the same time. I think that's like a very easy story to tell if you wanted.
Sure.
But especially considering some of the people that are in the tournament, I think he actually could have been useful.
Yeah, but what do you think why that is?
He's not popular. Like, we could have just told us. Like, he's not a draw. Like, we need to get real stars in there, like Jiro. Like, the real big names. But no, I actually think, I honestly think this run could be coming to an end. Like, that's kind of what this, I think they might have run out of dates or something to that extent. And they don't want to use them in this tournament. And they're going to put him over, or put somebody, whoever wins this tournament, over him. And that might be the end of the line for Nakajima in All Japan.
Given that, do you think there is a possibility Anzai wins?
No, I think the one who wins the carnival will beat Nakajima.
Mm. Will they call an audible on the day?
If the crowd chants his name loud enough, like Misawa over Jumbo in 1990.
Maybe. No, I don't see it either.
No, he's not. Anzai winning makes no sense at this point. But unless there's some kind of emergency, like Nakajima forces his way out, he's like, I will never work for this show again after this. You have to take the title off of me.
We've seen crazier things in wrestling.
Maybe. I mean, like I said, anything's possible. Like, this whole situation is so weird, like, and crazy that, you know, you can't completely write off anything. It just doesn't make logical sense. And why would Suwama be teasing this match if they're not going to do
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yes. And it is, it's real. We've talked about that last show, or the last time we talked about All Japan Pro Wrestling. It's crazy how we got here from the hype Katsuki Nakajima had when he first came in to All Japan Pro Wrestling in November of last year. And it's been, it's not even been half a year, or it's been half a year almost, but that's...
Time flies.
Time flies by, and not too positive ending, maybe.
You know, it's not like all their houses have done good with him. Like, there's no business detriment that he's had. There's a lot of weird rumors and stuff that's come about, and his character is crazy. But in terms of actual effect on their shows, they've... The show we talked about with the juniors in the main event wasn't a good show. But for the most part, All Japan has had good shows. You know, like, good attendances. He's been a fine champion. He's done fine. I think that there are some issues with how they've used him. And like,
to have him go over so many people how they have and to not really capitalize on it in any way, you would ideally want him in the tournament to put over a Yuma Aoyagi.
Yeah.
Somebody like that. Or Anzai would be perfect. Beat Anzai here and then put him in the same block. Anzai gets his win back. You could put him over those two guys, keep him out of the final, and you'd be fine. It makes so much sense to me.
Him not being in the tournament is also a sign that he doesn't want to lose to a lot of people.
I believe that as well, to be honest. I mean, how many losses has he taken in All Japan?
One. To a non-All Japan guy. That tells you a lot.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah. And I think that plays, honestly, that plays a big role in it as well.
This is so awkward. This is so awkward. It's such a weird deal with him being in this company. It should have been so much cooler.
And it's working.
His debut throwing flowers at Miyahara.
Oh, yeah. That was great. And the tag league final with Omori felt like a huge
deal. You said it. The houses are still good, but imagine how much cooler it could be.
No, I mean, I agree. I think if they had made some changes to how things went, probably they should have never traveled the road of the Enochism stuff, in my opinion. A lot of people loved that, and I was one of the few that didn't like it. And I definitely think that it's, at best, worn out its welcome now that we've had the lawsuit threats and all of that stuff. I think they should have never even gone down that road in the first place. Because remember, when he was in the tag league, it was all reaction to him was all positive. Even when he beat Aoyagi, I was the only one that thought that was bad. Like, everyone else I saw was very positive on his run. And he did great work in the tag league. But when they did the Inoki stuff, I didn't like it then, and I think it kind of has hampered where things have gone the last few months.
This rope that he's wearing with the X's on that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a punchline for one night.
Yeah.
You know, but they keep going back and back to it, and he's wearing that all the time. It's just, yeah.
And that was my problem with it from the very beginning. This feels like a gimmick. Like this whole deal is so gimmicky and comedy almost that he's doing this when he had such a very realistic, and that's why I always said when we talked about it last year with Kento and Nakajima, their match, I thought the Noah one was a lot better to me because it felt more real than the Inoki based match overall. And we'll see where it goes. Like I said, this, and I expect this Anzai match to be a great match, and I think it will draw all right. I don't think it'll be a blowaway number, I expect a good number for them. I think he would definitely have helped the Carnival, you know, up and down the mid-tier tour shows where you could put him in the main event. I think they'll be missing that when they go along. And we'll have to see where it goes. But I do agree. It feels like the bloom is off the rose with him a lot in this Triple Crown run. It might be time anyway just to to pivot.
All right, Champion Carnival, Dylan. Block A, Shotaro Ashino, Kento Miyahara, Yuma Aoyagi, Hokuto Omori, Ren Ayabe, Kuroshio Tokyo Japan, Davey Boy Smith Jr., and Cyrus. What's your take on this?
I wonder why they waited to announce Ray and Davey.
They waited because I think they weren't sure if Ray was going to make it. And they didn't want the blocks to look weird with one block missing one guy.
Well, it would feel like, you know, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, they just wouldn't have Davey Boy in there for this if Ray had not been able to make it. Which, by the way, we have to give Ray a lot of credit. I mean, this is an incredible recovery from his injury.
I wouldn't have thought it was possible.
Like I said, I remember what I was talking about, and I said I thought there was a slight chance of it, and you were like, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah,
given, and even then,
recovery times with similar injuries with other guys were out for months.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I thought it was a very low chance. I wasn't saying it was going to happen at all. I thought it was a very slight possibility. For him to do it is an exceptional recovery story for him. So we really have to praise Rei Saito for being able to do that. And for his body, for his courage to go out there. And just determination not to miss this tournament, you would presume would be a big part of that. But it was just weird how they announced it. Was it really that? Was it that you know, you didn't know one day, and then the next day you knew that he would be there. Yeah, it just feels a little weird. Like, was it that cut and dry that you had, like, you were a day away from it? I don't, like, why not just wait a couple of days to announce it? Then, you know,
that's true. Yeah, yeah.
It was just weird to me.
It was weird.
A block.
Yeah.
This is definitely the better block in terms of wrestling, because you have Aoyagi, Kento, Ashino in there right away.
Yep.
So those guys are pillars of this block that will carry it.
And you also have, with Hokuto Omori and Rene Yabe, two guys that want to elevate themselves, that need to elevate themselves, and that will work hard against the aforementioned three big guys in this block.
Ayabe is an interesting one, because it looked like they had that stuff with Ishikawa leaving. A lot of people speculated that
they teamed up recently, too.
Yeah, yeah, but he's still here in the carnival here. He's making his run here. Should be interesting to see what he brings to the table. He actually would have fit better in the other block, in my opinion, if you look at it just stylistically. But here he gets to be the one big guy in the block, so we kind of see two different.
Davey Boy is pretty tall, too.
Yeah, yeah, he's a big guy, too, but I wouldn't say he's a giant. Like, you know, I'm supposed to be the big guy.
That's right. Let's see how tall Davey is.
Yeah, how tall is Davey Boy?
Davey Boy Smith Jr., he is 6'5". Yeah, he should be taller.
Yeah, I think he's like 6'7". So it's not wildly different.
He's 6'7", yes.
Yeah, it's not wildly different, you could say there. They'll be two big guys. That should be a good match between them. Cyrus, another big powerhouse type of dude here as well. And then you've got Kuroshio, who we know what I think about him overall. The thing is, I'm all about different styles in tournaments. If I were to book any kind of tournament like this, a G1 or a carnival, I would purposely have a junior guy. I would have a flash pin guy, a technical guy, a comedy guy. I want all the styles in the tournament. So I'm okay with one goofy guy here. It's just he sucks at it, in my opinion, that I don't like. But still, Ashino, Miyahara, Aoyagi, they're great. Omori, I like a lot. I think that they've really... like, if I wish that they would have continued his run after the tag league so much. And the match he had with Nakajima was very much a red flag about how they see him, in my opinion. That was such a disappointment. That could have been... that should have been the title match on this March show, is Omori going for the title and not Anzai. Instead, they have him have a 5-minute match where he basically got
scored. Yeah, that was... And given that, I was shocked that he was announced for the Champion Carnival. And...
he bodies.
Yeah, but they could have, like, put some other dude in there. They could have gone, I don't know, Den Tamura, Seigo Tachibana, for example.
Yeah, you don't know is the right answer, because those guys aren't any higher.
But they are not lower either. They are not losing to Nakajima in 5 minutes. They actually had some wins in the last couple of months in comparison to Okoto Omori.
But they're junior heavyweights.
Sure.
I mean, I like Seigo's run.
Yep. Okay.
Well, unless we forget who was the top defender.
Jiro is a junior too.
Jiro's not a junior. He's always been pushed as a heavyweight.
He's been pushed as a heavyweight, yeah, that's true. But is like, Seigo Tachibana, is he considered a junior heavyweight?
That's a good point, actually, because they kind of have him as the TV champion.
He never wrestled in the junior division.
Yeah, good point, actually. Yeah. But, I mean, Omori has been pushed more than Tachibana, for sure. Like, he won the tag league. Like, he has to be in the tournament.
And it's been in December, and ever since, he's fallen off pretty heavily.
I know. I just don't understand why. What's wrong with him that they don't? They saw enough to put him in the tag league and win him, have him win. Yep. I like him though. I still like him as a worker.
Sure, he's good. She's good.
Yeah, but yeah, he is just a warm body at this point.
You're right. It's a good block though.
Yeah.
Block
what do you
B.
think about Davey? What are your expectations for Davey?
Not very high, actually.
Yeah.
He was in the G1 Climax over 10 years ago, and he's 37. Oh, he's not that old, but he has mileage.
He's another guy that started really young.
Yeah,
him and TJ started when they were like kids. Mm-hmm. TJ Wilson. But I remember a long time ago when he first left New Japan, you speculated that he should go to All Japan.
Yep.
And it took him a little while to even get here.
Yeah, he went to WWE in between that.
And did literally nothing. He signed and then never actually did wrestled a single match for them. So,
yeah, my expectations are not high. He is a very decent guy. He knows what to do inside the ring, but I don't expect any match of the year bangers.
No, I always thought about this about him, even in New Japan, that he a technically proficient worker and a good little bruiser guy, but so there's a lot of substance, but not a lot of sizzle. You know, no flash to
that's
him.
Right.
So, that's right. Yeah. You know, pretty much. And that's kind of how I feel about him. I think he's a good guy to have at the like a bottom guy on the block because he's got the size where he could beat people and even out points. And he's not going to have bad matches, but I wouldn't put him as a main event guy or anything like that. I think he's a guy to even out the block, not be a star player.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah. What about B-Block?
Yeah. Zuwama, Jun Saito, Rei Saito, Ryukyu Honda, Yuma Anzai, Hideki Suzuki, Hartley Jackson, and Lord Crew. Have you ever seen a match of Lord Cruz?
I had never heard of this man in my life.
Me neither. And I'm not going to check him out. I want to see what this guy is all about when he makes his first impression in All Japan Pro Wrestling.
If you look at him, though, he fits in with this block,
exactly.
Which is big guys.
Like, big guys block. Like,
yeah. I think they really did a mistake having Anzai in this block, actually. I would have switched him with either Cyrus or Ayabe. Or Jiro. Move Jiro here and have him get beat up by all the big guys would have been my move.
I think they put Anzai in this block specifically to have him all these matches where he can work from underneath against the big guys.
I agree. And I think ultimately it will pay off in the end if you look at his final match. Like I think that they do have a plan for him. But I think that just stylistically, he's a guy, to me, he's one of the best workers. Again, I don't think he's learning anything. I think he's a better worker than most of these guys, actually, in my opinion. So I don't think his match quality may be limited, but he's so talented that he could absolutely make it work, being the underdog guy. And if anything, I think the fans will rally behind that in this block. So they might have outsmarted me on this one a little bit. I have to give them that on paper. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, what about Hideki in this block?
To me, his only things here are with Anzai and Suwama on there. Did you see where they had these like reporters or whatever reported? They called him Masua here.
No,
Masua. This is hilarious.
Why?
How lazy can you be?
Why?
Masua. It was like the big accounts that don't follow Japanese wrestling. They cover AEW, WWE, and all that.
I see.
They would post like, oh, new champion carnival lineup. And I saw it was like Masuma. And I was like, what the hell?
It is actually one of the wrong translations that come up when you translate.
Yeah. Yeah, they machine, didn't know that.
Machine translates Zuwama's name, yeah.
I think Ryukyu Honda had another one that like it messed up his name too.
Yeah, it's sometimes the name that comes up is something like Tatsuki Honda or something like that.
Yeah, like I said, we translated this stuff before, so we're familiar and know the pitfalls, but they didn't know better. That's the problem, whoever did those results. But Masuma, like, that's what I'm going to call him forever now, Masuma.
Here. The translation for Seki Yoshioka's name always confuses me because it is Yoki. Yoshioka, and it's very similar to the Dragon Gate.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm very happy Seki's in All Japan lately. I think he's a great addition to the junior division as well. I hope he gets a title shot very soon. But yeah, another one is like whenever you, like, if you just look at the matches, especially if you're putting stuff in like cage matches stuff, if you go to the translations, it'll be like shrimp hardening will be the translation for pin.
Exactly.
Very funny. But this block, though. Lots of big guys. Hideki, great wrestler. Hate his team with Suwama. I think it's a total waste of time with him. In this matchup, though, or in this block, you get matches with Anzai and Honda, which should both be great. The Suwama match was really underwhelming and not that great, in my opinion. Their singles match that they had in February.
Mm-hmm.
But it's made for him to get a win back here pretty much from the loss he took. And other than that, I don't think he really... He's got good size to him. It's not that he's small. But he's not like a giant either.
No.
You know, so he's kind of in a weird spot in this block as well. They should have moved Anzai and Hideki into A block and put Cyrus and Ayabe into here, or Davey Boy. But they need the story with Hideki and Suwama, though, so I get it.
Yeah. And they are hell-bent on having the Saitos in the same block. They want to do that. they want to keep that alive, that they are brothers and that they are a tag team, but they also fight. That's the idea that they go with.
I just want them to have normal matches. Like, if we get to see Ray like he was in the DDT tournament, I think that could be really good. If they do stuff with Commander Taru or whatever.
Commander in chief to you.
Well, not to me. But if they do a bunch of stuff with that throughout the tournament, that could really wreck this B block. Because they're both in the same block. If they're both doing crazy stuff, I think that's going to be hurting. And like I said, this is not a work rate block, ultimately. This is a beef block here. That is the power of this block, literally. You want the beef, guys. And I'll say this about Lord Crew. I haven't seen him wrestle, but I did a little research about him. I think this guy has everything I've seen on a lot of his interviews and how he talks, and I think he has a really great head on his shoulders for this business. I was really impressed with his personality that he showed. I saw a little bit about him and stuff. He was helping out the elderly in his town. You know, he wrestled in Cincinnati. He seems like a really cool guy, and I'm hoping that he comes in and does some big things in here. Again, I've never seen him wrestle in my life. He's like an Ohio indie wrestler. Have no idea how that this happened, you know, like how he got here. But I'm rooting for him to do some big things. And we always see new guys. Look at Davidson last year. That's a guy nobody knew about.
Ryan Davidson,
Yeah. And he did pretty good, like, in there. And that's all Japan's really good about, finding these hidden gems, kind of. Like, you know, like guys that nobody knows about, but they come in, they do some big things. And hopefully Crew can be another one. I mean, it's a weird name, too, I have to say. If I were... Lord Crew. I don't know about that one. But we'll see what he can do in the wrestling. And, you know, Hartley, he's big. You got the Saitos, that's beef. Suwama's coming in. So it's very much a beef block. And I think that a lot of it... What do you think when you look at these blocks? Who are the contenders to make the finals?
So, final days.
That's what this is, the Eastern Lariat tradition. The cheat code is active once again.
Cheat code. We have Yuma Anzai against Hideki Suzuki in block B, and Suwama versus Jun Saito in block in the same block, of course. Then Rei Saito versus Ryukyu Honda and Hartley Jackson versus Lord Crew. So it comes down to the aforementioned matches: Suwama against Jun and Anzai against Hideki. I think they want to go with Suwama in this block.
I exactly think that's what's going to happen. As I mentioned, I think Anzai, his goal in this tournament is for Hideki on the last night. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think he has any chance of winning the tournament, but I think him getting the win over Hideki will be his win, pretty much.
And that's a pretty significant win, given that Hideki doesn't lose a lot.
Except to Suwama, unfortunately. Yeah. And he's also the pin eater in their team as well.
Sure.
It still will be a nice deal. I wish that they would have gotten here a better way than the Hideki Suwama team. But that match could be fire. Remember him versus Kaito in the Noah final of the N1.
Right.
That was a fantastic match.
That's the foil for this one, too.
Exactly. Like that, I think that they're going to run that same playbook just in the block final instead. Yeah. And Yuma will eliminate Hideki and Suwama will advance.
So, block A, we have Kurashio against Ayabe, Ashino against Cyrus, Yuma Oyagi against Hokuto Omori, and Kento Miyahara against Davey Boy Smith Jr. And I think Davey Boy will be in contention, but eventually Kento Miyahara will make the final.
And they have a similar story. Omori will eliminate Aoyagi, and Kento will advance. Like, it's basically the same thing back and forth. Yep. I think it makes perfect sense. The other two matches, I do think Rei and Honda, like one or both of them could be in contention on the final day. I don't think either of them are going to win, but I do think that they will give respect to those guys, especially Rei, who's will be a tag champion in all likelihood there. And this block, I think it's clear cut. The last two matches are going to be there. And I think Kento will win the A block. It seems perfect. And like you said, I think they'll protect Davey Boy and make Kento beating him, like, because I mean, this is a fresh matchup for him as well, which you don't get a lot of those with Kento. And I think it was smart to put him on the last night.
Yes,
So we both have Kento and Suwama.
Exactly. Yes. Makes the most sense given what they do.
Yeah. I could also see Anzai getting a draw with Hideki if they want to extend that a little bit.
Sure.
Wouldn't have. But I think it's better just have Anzai win.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Who's going to win then? Kento or Suwama?
Well, I think Suwama.
Yeah, me too.
For whatever reason, they did the Kento deal. He lost twice, and then that's it.
I think that's such. If that plays out that way, like how it's kind of like I'm kind of leaning to it playing out with Suwama winning this, beating Nakajima, and then Nakajima going away. I think that's such a disastrous decision. Yeah. Like how they use him.
Yeah.
Like to have him go over Kento twice, and then for have him leave. I think would be a terrible, terrible mistake overall.
But as it seems, that's the way that we're going, because they haven't even teased anything between Nakajima and Miyahara in the last couple of months.
That's exactly right.
Nor have they teased anything with, for example, Yuma Oyagi, who should get the win back too.
Yeah, he's another guy. Like he's been really deep pushed. The last few months, Yagi has.
But he's always the most popular guy in any match that he's in.
But because he's a fantastic performer and one of the best in the world, and why I voted him MVP last year there. How good was that match he had with Takeshita?
Oh, man, yes. Great match on the DDT show. Loved it.
He stole the show. Like, he was the one that went to the fans. Like, right? Like he had the thing with the fans.
He's so great with the fans. He's such a great prick, and he did that with his woman in front row who was screaming her lungs out for Takeshita, and Aoyagi went there and looked at her and talked to her, and it was just amazing.
He always does that, like with anybody. Like with Takeshita, he doesn't have a defining characteristic. Like, for example, when he was with Kenno, he made fun of his fist pose.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Muto, where he made fun of him. Takeshi doesn't have anything like that for him to go after. So instead, he went after his fan in the crowd that he was invading. It was so freaking good. Aoyagi, I love this man so much. Man, like one of the best workers.
He should be winning this tournament. But
he should be winning the tournament. I totally agree with that. Like, you know, if it were up to me, and they told me, like, this is it. Nakajima's going away. We have to get the title off of him. And the one who wins the tournament will do it. Aoyagi is winning the tournament in my version. I don't care. Like, we put him as the champion. He was doing great as champion anyway. They got derailed for Nakajima. And I think Aoyagi, I think the world of him as a performer. Absolutely. But I do think ultimately it will be Kento. Unfortunately. And it's nothing against Kento. Like, he's great. I will say, too, Kento and Suwama is not a final that gets my juices pumping. But Suwama gets anybody doesn't get my juices pumping. So that's it.
It could be Kento and Anzai. Maybe this Suwama thing is just a way to distract us from Kento and Anzai.
I think if Kento is winning the tournament, which I do think he's the only other person I would say would be a favorite to win. I think it would be more likely that Hideki would beat Anzai and get to the final. Mm. And you could do Kento and Hideki. Because that's a match that they haven't done either.
That's right. Yeah.
And this would be a great time to do it. It's tough because we know Hideki probably won't win that match. And I think there's much more likely Suwama could win against Kento than Hideki. Hideki and Nakajima, that's a match that they could do if they wanted. I mean, I don't think he's going to win the tournament, but I think it's interesting that they haven't tested that because they have so much history with each other from Noah.
That's true. But the problem here would be that this match would have to go to a 60-minute time limit draw.
Maybe. I mean, it's Nakajima. So, you're probably right. Hideki won't let Nakajima. Because, like, Hideki's not... It's not like he's buried people or forced his way in. Like, you know, I think that's kind of a weird reputation.
And it's... No. It's actually a very smart way to go about him. He's picking the right spots to lose.
Yeah. If you're talking political guys, I look at his partner way worse than him.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I don't think Hideki will win. I thought that would be a great match. I loved their matches in the past, though. Hideki and Nakajima, I thought they were fantastic wrestling matches.
I would love to see again. And they have done the draw in the past too. So, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just Nakajima. He refuses to, and maybe that's another political problem. But regardless,
yeah,
Suwama would be my pick. But I don't think it's impossible that Kento doesn't just get it. I think the best possible circumstances that Kento wins and gets his win back over Nakajima, or a win at least, maybe not both of them.
That'll be the best. The best possible scenario of what we have would be that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we want Aoyagi to win. If it were our dream come true, that would be what I would do.
Mm.
But I think Kento winning. I just don't want to see Suwama be the one to vanquish Nakajima. I don't think there's any upside to that.
Let's hope for Kento.
Yeah, I'm for it. That's like the thing with Kento. It's a great story. They've had fantastic matches. Both the Nakajima matches were great, but it is a little old hat to go to him again, like as the champion.
Mm.
Yeah. So it is something they've kind of booked themselves into a multiple corners at once, and we'll see if they get out of it or not. I'm not like completely down on this, but I'm not excited about this like tournament either.
We'll see what ideas they come up with during the tournament. I'm hopeful at least that in the end we come up with some guys elevating each other. I'll set it here in block A,
yeah,
with Omori and Ayabe, and of course we still have the Saito's Honda Anzai in block B. There is some chances for these guys to take advantage of these to impress the higher ups in this company.
And let's not forget, last year's tournament was not a great champion carnival overall. Like it ended well. Proof. Yeah, it ended well enough with Ashino getting a huge win. Like I don't think nobody expected that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the injury happened with that, but it was a great, until after the show, everything was great with the final. The tournament itself was not well regarded, and I think this whole company, you look at the top guys and there's a lot of great talent. Depth has been an issue for a while.
Mm.
Who is gonna step up to really even things out in these blocks? I think they need some guys who we're not expecting, and hopefully like the Saitos could be that in B block. Maybe Lord Crew makes a big statement coming in.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, exactly. Like, well, like I said, we've never seen him, so we don't know. But maybe in the A block, like you said, Ayabe, could this be his breakout? You know, he gets some moments. I think that they need some people like that to really rise up. It can't just be Kento and Yuma carrying the tournament like they've done so much in the past. And maybe Anzai and B block doing his best. They need more from the other guys.
Yes. So this tournament is starting on April 18 and running all the way until May 12 in Yokohama Buntai, where they have the finals. The block finals will be on May 4 in Sanyo and on May 6 in Kuroken Hall, and that's the Champion Carnival. And Dylan, that is also the Eastern Lariat, a very long episode. We had a lot to talk about with these three companies, and I'm very glad that we didn't talk about any others, given the extent that we talked about them.
No, these are the big stories happening right now in Japan, to be honest. We did talk a little bit about certain things like with DG and DDT.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, it's not like we forgot about them. It's just these things are like, you know, the things happen, right? These are the happenings. Yeah. Now, hopefully, I did notice, too, about the Champion Carnival, a little bit later than usual, it feels like. It feels like last year was around the 4th or the 5th. They usually have the final, and this year they took a week back. So a little bit of a note there to look at. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
outside of Golden Week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that's interesting that they did that. Good. But we'll see how it plays out. And hopefully, all of these companies, like I said, I think with Stardom, we were not negative. It was more confused. Like, you know, like there's questions. We're asking questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
With New Japan, I think we're definitely negative on it right now because of a lot of reasons, and justifiably so. All Japan's another one of those. It feels like, like I said, I'm not negative, but I'm also not excited, if that makes sense.
Kind of like you said, totally makes sense.
Yeah, and it kind of makes sense what you said. Like, it's not, like, it's like the stuff they're doing is working ultimately, but it feels like it could be more or cooler, as you said. On there, it could be a little bit cooler. So we'll see if the carnival. What a great way to do it is a tournament to rack things up. So very excited about the future. Very excited to be back. Like I said, I really missed you a lot. I missed doing the show, and hopefully all you guys listening. Sorry to keep you guys waiting. I really apologize. I wish that I had done something in between. You know, I did a bunch of stuff on the Patreon, if you guys want to follow that, covering these tournaments, and even the NOAH tournament I did one on as well. So check that out, and we won't be gone so long. We won't be strangers no more this time. We're going to be back much sooner.
That is definitely correct. So thank you all for listening to the show and staying until the end of this show. This has been the Eastern Ariat. Goodbye.
Sayonara.